Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com.
New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. To AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Mark Noller, live at the White House. In 3 hours, President Bush addresses the nation to announce his new strategy on Iraq. It includes a commitment to increase the number of U.S. forces there by some 22,000. But Mr. Bush will say that only the Iraqis can end the sectarian violence in their country. And he'll use his speech to serve notice on the Iraqi government, warning that, quote, America's commitment is not open-ended. He briefed congressional leaders this afternoon, and one of the top Democrats, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, wasn't buying what the president's selling.
Again, speaking for me, I'm at a loss as to what's going to happen with these additional troops.
Reid calls the Bush strategy an escalation of the war in Iraq. The White House rejects that characterization. And Mr. Bush will say tonight that his new strategy will bring the U.S. closer to success in Iraq. Live at the White House, I'm Mark Noller. With more CBS News, here's Harley Carnes.
The bill is passed.
The House has passed the bill to increase the minimum wage by about 40%. CBS's Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill.
The House bill would give a small raise now to those at the minimum, and over the next 2 years bring it up to $7.25 an hour. Still not much for a full-time worker with a family, but better than the $5.15 where it's been stuck for the past 10 years. House Democrats rejected Republican efforts to link the increase to some tax benefits for small businesses that hire a lot of minimum wage workers, but that may end up in the final bill that passes the Senate.
That's because President Bush has said he'd only sign a bill that gives small businesses that help. Money talks, and sometimes it shouts. The majority of the people who live at a Florida coastal trailer park decided to take the $500 million in developers' money and move.
It's time for us to move on to another part of our life.
Money does not make you happy.
Developers plan to build more high-rise condos there. Belarus gave up on collecting a bigger piece of the Russian oil that crosses its territory. Belarusian officials had slapped a $45 per ton tax on Russian oil pumped across their country. Russia backed down on the big tax it had put on its own oil to Belarus a few weeks ago, which depends on cheap oil for its refineries to make those big profits. Russia needs the pipeline to reach the rest of Europe, so they sheathed their tax swords. What do ex-convicts do when they get out of prison? More than the average number of them die.
Drug overdoses were by far the biggest killer in the 2 weeks following release, accounting for more than 70% of the deaths. After 2 years, they were still the major cause of death among ex-inmates, followed by heart disease, murder, and suicide.
CBS's Barry Bagnato in Washington. Oil prices today continued to come down, closing at $54.02 a barrel, down $1.62. On Wall Street, another good day. The Dow up about 25.5 points to close at 12,442. The NASDAQ gained 15 points. This is CBS News.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
Let's kick back for the moment. Let your worries drift away, cause here we're living for today.
Let's go out back tonight.
Wake up the day. Go out back tonight, where fresh Ahi tuna is seasoned, seared, and served on a bed of crisp romaine. Start the new year fresh. Leave your worries at the door.
Let's go out back tonight.
Tonight, let go.
Life will still be there tomorrow.
Go out back.
seems the TV channels may not be paying much attention to the watchdogs for family and children programming. WTOP's Darcy Marchese.
The Parents Television Council says the 2005-2006 TV season
was the most violent that the PTC has ever recorded.
President Tim Winter says since 1998,
violence increased in every time slot and on virtually every network.
He says every 13 and a half minutes, viewers can expect to see an instance of violence during prime time. The group says besides the frequency of violence increasing,
the depictions of violence are far more graphic and more realistic than ever before.
The commissioner of the FCC is calling for parents to better monitor what their kids watch.
Yvonne DiCarlo has died, probably best known as Lily Munster, the shapely vampirous wife of big, lovable Herman. That TV show is still seen in syndication. DiCarlo's career also included starring roles on the big screen, including The Ten Commandments, Moses' wife. She was 84.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 3 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, and this promises to be, or at least it's being advertised as, an historic day or an historic speech by the president. Let me let you know, well, we have some interesting plans, and before I share those with you, let me give you all the details of Enid Live and how you can participate in Enid Live. It is a big, rollicking, and really vibrant conversation that occurs every day from 3 to 7, every weekday, Mondays through Fridays, from 3 to 7 on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel, and you can join it in a variety of ways. You can email me, which is sort of a one-sided, you know, everybody's not hearing you the way they would if you would call in, and the whole universe hears you. And remember, radio signals never die, so they're bouncing around Mars somewhere. This is true. Those of you who are physicists will validate that. You can email me, enid@kctc.com. enid@kctc.com. We stream live, so it doesn't matter where you are. We are live and we're interactive at 1320leftchannel.com. 1320 Left Channel, one word, numbers and one word, leftchannel.com. My shows are archived at whiterosesociety.org. White Rose Society, one word, .org. And if you call in, it does not cost you a penny to participate in this really wonderful, it is a work of art every day. It's a canvas that unfolds, and we don't know where it's going to go. Sometimes it's contentious, sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's serious. I mean, I think we play most of the notes around here. If you're in the 916 area code, the number is 349-1320. And if you're not, the number is 866-626-1320. A couple of things. First of all, we are taking the president's address tonight, and it is being called historic, or hysteric, one of those two, at 6 o'clock. So at about 6 o'clock is when the president will be speaking, 6 o'clock Pacific time. Normally, Enid Live ends at 7. The speech is over at about 6:30, let's say. They sang 25 minutes or so. So let's just say roughly the speech will be over at 6:30. I imagine they're going to be on time because they're commandeering network time, and network time's pretty expensive. So let's say they'll be done at when they're supposed to be done, which is at 6:25. We will take your calls. And if there are a lot of you who want to participate, and really, why should you hurl a shoe at your television set? Why should you scream at your beloved or your pet? You call up, and we want to hear from you on this. Now, I know lots of you are off the road by this time. You might be home. home. You might be watching it on television. It doesn't matter. You can scream at your television set all you want, but nobody is going to hear you. However, if you call Enid Live, we will take your calls. And if there are enough of you who want to be heard on the issue of what Dickie's going to have to say and how he's going to craft his pitch to the American public, and I have some details as to what it's going to contain, or at least some theorizing as to what it's going to contain, a certain amount of mea culpa, not enough for my money. But anything that you want to say about it, if there are enough of you, we will go long and we will join Air America Radio in Progress. So we will go long enough to accommodate your comments about the presidential speech tonight. All right, I want to give you that. I think it's a great gift from us to you, if I may say that. So it's a way for us to discuss in the moment exactly what we have just seen and heard. And what your thoughts are, whether you think he made the sale, whether he didn't make the sale. He has got no support here. The American public doesn't support him. His own generals don't support him. He has no support going into this thing. It's him and Cheney. The two dicks who have been running this country, Dickie and Dick, are the ones who are dragging us down this road. So I'm going to want to hear from you about that. And I want to start today by talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger. And before I get to Arnold Schwarzenegger, I just want to make this observation. I want to share this with you. This is something that came from a friend of mine, and I think this is going around the internet, but I think it's called 11 People on a Rope. Have you heard this? 11 People on a Rope? 11 people were hanging on a rope under a helicopter, 10 men and one woman. The rope was not strong enough to carry them all, so they decided that one had to leave because otherwise they were all going to fall. They weren't able to name that person until the woman gave a very touching speech. She said that she would voluntarily let go of the rope because, as a woman, she was used to giving up everything for her husband and kids or for men in general, and was used to always making sacrifices with very little in return. As soon as she finished her speech, all the men started clapping. So, there you go. 349-1320-866-626-1320. There are 11 people hanging on for dear life, and only one of them had to let loose for the rest to live. And this is one of those email messages. It says, send this message to an intelligent woman so that she has something to smile about today. I like that one. I thought that was good. Well, if we're talking about intelligent women, let's start with Nancy Pelosi, okay? Think about this. Nancy Pelosi is third in line for the presidency. In other words, she is the woman who now stands just two indictments away from the presidency. Nancy Pelosi standing just two indictments away from the presidency. I think that's the way to put it. More doubts are surfacing about the governor's health plan. Let me give it to you here. A mandate that all Californians have health care coverage and sanctions for those who don't are perhaps among the most controversial aspects of the governor's plan for extending health care to 6.5 million uninsured residents. Now, I want to tell you, here's another figure that has come up. The state of California has 6.5 uninsured. The country as a whole, it's estimated now that we have 750,000 homeless in the U.S. I'll bet it's higher than that. I mean, how are you going to find out how many exactly? Because they don't have addresses, right? They're homeless. Got that part? The Department of Redundancy Department. They are hard sometimes. You know, who's canvassing under park benches and in doorways and under viaducts and in places where the homeless seem to gather to get some rest? But one group is estimating that there are 750,000 homeless in the U.S. I think they're low. I mean, you almost see that many in Union Square in San Francisco, really. Or you did. I think they cleaned it up a little bit, but not a lot. So, with 3/4 of us homeless, and California has 6.5 million, 750,000 of us homeless in this country, 6.5 million of us in California without health insurance, and it costs about $1 billion every 3 or 4 days to be in Iraq. $1 billion every 3 or 4 days. Think of all the insurance that would buy for the homeless, or think of living quarters for the homeless. Think of insurance it would buy for those of us in California who don't have it, or for the children, about 750,000 children in the state of California uninsured. Just think about where that money could go. Some of the doubts about Arnold Schwarzenegger's health care plan. Consumers, labor unions, and some leading Democrats in the legislature, state legislature, are concerned that the governor's plan puts too much of the risk for the rising cost of health care on the backs of individuals, some of whom can least afford it. So I think that's a legitimate criticism. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And the New York Times is reporting, after it made such a big splash about talking about what the second coming of Arnold's health care proposals on Monday. On Tuesday, it was the second coming. And on Wednesday, headline, Schwarzenegger's health care plan draws a large dose of skepticism. Chief among the challenges, politicians and policy analysts have said, is the enormous number of political players from big labor and big insurance to small county government and that would be affected by any universal health care bill. I cannot think of another topic that requires so many people to be heard to build consensus, said Don Parada, whose own plan really sort of sucks, if you look at it. You'd have to rent out Madison Square Garden, he said. He's got his own plan going, the California Medical Association, which represents more than 34,000 doctors in California, gave the proposed overhaul mixed reviews. Though the association praised the ideas of universal coverage, the fee on doctors could be a real deal breaker. And they want to get, the state is talking about getting 2% of doctors' gross revenues that they would have to kick in. As it is, a lot of doctors are being drummed out of medicine. They're fleeing because it's not as remunerative as it was. They can't make the decisions that they once did. The insurance companies are making them in the guise of 19-year-old clerks who barely clear high school, who maybe can't even read their diplomas, who are telling the doctors what kind of care will and will not be covered, and really directing what kind of medical care you or I are going to have. And whether or not it is a fee that the doctors are going to have to cough up, and others are going to have to cough up, or a tax is more than semantic. Under California laws, fees can be adopted by a simple majority vote of each house of the legislature, while new taxes require a two-thirds majority. Democrats control both houses but do not have enough votes to muster two-thirds without Republican help, and the Republicans don't seem to like the idea of universal coverage, and particularly for illegals. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. The press on Arnold's State of the State address has been pretty positive. The Chronicle has this headline, bold move on global warming. Washington Post has this headline, Schwarzenegger agenda could flex California's muscle. And really what everybody is saying is that he's optimistic, he has all these ideas. And the Los Angeles Times today, in its editorial on Arnold's State of the State address, says the following, the state of ambition. Schwarzenegger's plans are notable for their audacity and their cost. Now the legislature must lead. It is one thing for the governor to be ambitious. Arnold Schwarzenegger came from Hollywood, where success is impossible without ambition. It's quite another thing for the legislature, which has historically rewarded timidity and resistance to match his audacity. Yet, that's exactly what will have to happen for California to reach the heights Schwarzenegger set for it in his State of the State speech yesterday. And we took that speech live, if you will recall. And we also had, prior to the speech, we had Sheila Kuehl on, State Senator Sheila Kuehl, who has authored Senate Bill 840, the one that supports and is all about universal single-payer health care in the state of California. Universal health care. We want that, and we want single-payer. I don't know if it's ever going to come to pass because there are too many people who would be discomfited by single-payer. You have these huge corporations that wouldn't be getting their cut anymore of our monies. So how they're going to craft something where everybody gets to stick their hand in the till and we still have something that's workable and not a camel that's supposed to be a horse, I really don't know, because it's really complicated. But if we, the people, finally got off our rear ends long enough, you know, disengage ourselves from the shopping channel just long enough to actually realize that we have immense power. We really have a tremendous amount of power. Us little rabbits have tremendous power if we could get together and get it together. But that is what it's going to require. Now, there is a train that is going up to Washington, D.C. from California, and I don't know all the details, but they need about, you have until Oh, I think we missed the deadline. Sorry. You had until January 8th to qualify for a 20% Amtrak group discount. This was $246.40 per person round trip coach from Sacramento to Washington, D.C. You could join along the way. And this is for those who want to commit to travel by train to D.C. for the January 27, 29 events that are planned. And this is, I think, protest. This is the California Peace Train to Washington, D.C., and I think this is the Democrats who are involved in this. I don't have a lot of information, but if you call the Democratic Party, they can give you more information. 349-1320-866-626-1320. So there are protests that are being planned, some for tomorrow. Here is the peace train going to Washington, D.C. I'm telling you that we can be heard, but we need to get together, and we need to end our disengagement for that to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen. You know, it's a nice thought. It is entirely possible. It is within our purview. And for those of you who say one person can't make a difference, one person can make an immense difference. Carla Marinucci, whose work I like, and she's a political reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, in a State of the State address Tuesday, assumed the role of director of postpartisanship, suffering from postpartisan depression, undoubtedly, laying out an ambitious political agenda that will involve a complex cast, a hefty script, a big budget, and some difficult special effects to deliver results in areas from health care to the environment. The governor defined the task as nearly epic and heroic in proportions and urged that the challenge be taken up because California is the modern equivalent of the ancient city-states of Athens and Sparta. And remember, he called, in his swearing-in, he called California a nation-state. It all sounds glamorous. It all sounds inspirational. And because he's Arnold, and I guess not Phil, he's getting a tremendous amount of ink. Even the Washington Post had it on its front page today, talked about him flexing California's muscle. Lesson from California, never underestimate the ambition of a former Mr. Universe. Over the past week, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has unleashed a torrent of proposals to shake up everything in his state, from health care to road building to politics itself, all in an effort to reshape his party and set a national agenda. The most recent offering in the State of the State address is a plan to cut vehicle emissions of greenhouse gases by 10%. He will require petroleum refineries to reduce the carbon content of their fuel over the next 13 years. A signal to any doubters that his recent aggressive positioning as an environmentalist is not mere political theater. Now, his relative, Bobby Kennedy Jr., is a big environmentalist. So maybe on these family gatherings, they're hawking him on this subject, and he's finally begun to listen. Let us blaze away, said Schwarzenhobel, for the U.S. and for China and for the rest of the world. So these are some big ideas. And the press has fanned them further and made them, have puffed them up even to a greater extent. And so I wonder what your thoughts are about health care. Now the proposal being made on Monday, now drawing skepticism on Wednesday, by Wednesday. The state of Arnold's ambition, nice, fine rhetoric, not eloquent, not elegant, but inspiring and certainly finely tendered. And whether he's going to be able to do any of this, whether he's going to be able to generate the money, I don't know. I wonder what your thoughts are. Is this just more politics with a nicer little veneer on it? 349-1320. And just remember, if we the people get involved, we can have universal single-payer health care. We can do this. I know we can do this. But us little rabbits have to really come together. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. And let me remind you, we're going to be taking the President's Speech live at 6. And if there are enough of you who call in and want to respond to the president's speech, to Dickey's pitch to the American people who do not want to commit more troops to Iraq, we will take your calls live, and we will cut into Air America, John Elliott's show following mine, and we will rejoin them in progress. So you will have a place to sound off here if you want to. Now, some of you may be home at that point. You might be watching it on television rather than listening to it on the radio. But here is the place on AM 1320, the people's voice here, voice of the people, you will be heard. So you can register your thoughts, whatever they are, right here, and you'll be hearing some of mine as the president is speaking. 349-1320-866-2613-20. You're listening to and be listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Well, I suppose saying that it would snow on Thursday was a little premature. I think it's going to be breezy, colder, highs near 48 tomorrow, but I don't see any snow in the future. There's some Sierra snow, maybe the dust we're going to see, but I don't think it's going to drop down.
You mean this is like a premature meteorological ejaculation?
I guess so. I mean, it sounds pretty good to me. Low's 29, though, so I'll feel like I am back in Montana. Yeah, we're going to talk about Montana Day, actually. So the traffic, southbound 99 right by Fruit Ridge Road, a two-car crash. Things are slowing down there as it approaches the rush hour at 324. Northbound 99 as well on I-5 and at J Street. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It's Enid Live, doing full frontal talk radio. AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I can't wait to hear the rest of the show.
Hi, Bob Creedon.
Whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it,
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott! It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
No more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. Talk to Enid now, 349-1320. Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Shoots up through the stony ground, there's no room. No space to rent in this town, you're out of luck. And the reason that you had to care, traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place. Someone you could lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful day.
3:29 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7. Well, maybe longer tonight. It's going to depend on all of you, as a matter of fact. I know that in the 6 o'clock hour, many of you are off the road and you are out of your cars and you are at home. And the president's speech is at 6. We're going to be taking it live. We're going to bring it to you live. So wherever you are, whether you're in the office, you're stuck in the office, you can certainly listen to us online at 1320leftchannel.com. And if you're in your car, you'll be able to hear the speech. And even if you decide that you're going to cheat on us, that's right, and watch it on television, instead of listening to it on AM 1320, that's, you know, that'll happen, I know. But TV is not going to give you the opportunity to respond, and we will. So hustle right over to your radio and or your telephone, and we'd love to hear from you. We would love to hear whether or not the president made the sale, any comments you want to make about what he had to say. He's going to have to really do a job here to craft a speech to a population that is not supporting him on this, to Congress and Senate that I don't think in the main support him on this, and his generals don't support him on this. So it's just he's going it alone. You know, it's high noon. The two dicks are going it alone here, Dickie and Dick Cheney, and they're dragging us down with them. This is being billed as an historic speech. It has been said that Iraq is Dickie's Vietnam. So if there are enough of you to call, we will go along on Enid Live, and we will join Air America Radio and John Elliott's show in progress down the line. And if not, if you have only just listened to the speech and you want to reserve your comments for the next day, we'll talk about it tomorrow. But you have the opportunity to respond in the moment, exactly as you were, however you're feeling about the speech. We can discuss it the moment the speech is over. So let me give you the numbers, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Costs you nothing to participate in our conversation, and it's a great conversation that happens, a great and a grand conversation that happens 5 days a week, weekdays, from 3 to 7. Tonight could be longer than that. So a couple of things that I want to share with you. What we're considering right now is all the skepticism that's setting in for Arnold's State of the State address, particularly the health care proposal. It was a grand series of headlines the first day after He revealed his plans for health care revamping. Now there's more skepticism. There are people digging in their heels. And there have been a lot of headlines on Arnold's State of the State address. I mean, he's amazing. He gets headlines. It was just a speech. It wasn't even that grand a speech. But he got headlines all over the place. And specifically the Washington Post. I don't know that he got front page in the New York Times, but certainly in the Washington Post he did. Crew, Citizens for Responsibility for Ethics in Washington, guess what? They're lauding Representative Alan Mollahan, who has been named chairman of the Commerce, Justice, and State Subcommittee of the House Appropriations Committee. He's under investigation by the DOJ, the Department of Justice, and he has recused himself from all matters related to the Justice Department as long as the investigation continues. And they are giving him high marks for this. Melanie Sloan, who is executive director of CRU, said today that Speaker Pelosi and Representative Mollahan deserve credit for recognizing that recusal is the appropriate course of action. She says, she goes on to say, the Democrats have handled Mollahan's ethics problems in a manner markedly different from the way the Republicans have handled such issues. Not only did Speaker Pelosi first remove Representative Mollahan from his position as ranking member of the House Ethics Committee last Congress, she now also has had him recuse himself from consideration of DOJ matters. In contrast, now listen to this, and this is why I bring it up. In contrast, Appropriations Committee members Jerry Lewis, Republican of California, and John Doolittle, who are also under federal investigation, have failed to recuse themselves from these matters. Speaker Pelosi, who campaigned on the issue of a cleaner Congress, is working hard to live up to this ideal. The question now is whether Republicans will follow her lead in dealing with their own ethically challenged members. And so in that umbrella of ethically challenged members is John Doolittle. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So under investigation, he is under federal investigation. In case there was any question about it, in case he says he's just trying to clear his name, in case he says he's just spending over $100,000 on public relations advice from criminal defense attorneys, he's under federal investigation. We haven't heard much about Doolittle lately. A couple of updates here. Senator Conrad Burns, that dope from Montana, he's going to K Street, and so is Rick Santorum, that other dope from Pennsylvania. They're going to go work as lobbyists. The revolving door. So Rick Santorum, neither were reelected. They lost their jobs. Now they'll make a ton of money as lobbyists, as bigger whores than they were when they were actually in Congress. And if you were wondering where Rudy Giuliani stands on the surge tonight, he won't say. This is a guy who likes to be tough on Homeland Security issues. But he's not going to tell you where he stands on the surge. At least 10 Republican senators are going to vote against the president's surge plans. We should really call it what it is. Instead of using the terms that these people use, like partial birth abortion, it's really a late-term abortion. The surge is really not a surge. It's an escalation. It's a ratcheting up. It is defying the will of the American people. And Senator Gordon Smith, who is a Republican, hit Bush's new surge plan and said that Iraq was no longer a U.S. fight. He also said that he supported Ted Kennedy's proposal to have Congress vote on any increase in troops. One Fox anchor believes that Teddy Kennedy is a hostile, like an enemy of the state, because he has spoken out. She has called him a hostile enemy right here on the home front. If anybody watches Fox News, I guess they must have some people who watch them. But I'll bet most of the people who watch Fox News move their lips while they're watching the TV set. But I'm not for sure about that. Well, you might have another view. This morning on Fox News, anchor Gretchen Carlson called Ted Kennedy a hostile enemy of the U.S. because he has demanded that Congress vote on whether to approve funding for escalation in Iraq. She's calling him a hostile enemy of the U.S. What are your thoughts about that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Fox News is calling Ted Kennedy, who I think is a patriot for speaking out loudly and passionately, when a lot of other people don't have the courage, but more do. The Democrats are finally speaking out. She's calling Ted Kennedy a hostile enemy right here on the home front. Now, I don't know her work, but if her IQ is even at room temperature, I'll be amazed. Maybe she just says what she's saying in order to generate ratings and controversy. Maybe that's it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Frank and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Frank.
Hey, Enid, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Check this out. here's my theory on the whole deal. You know, they he switched out the commander in Iraq for a naval commander, right?
And are you talking about Dickey, our president, our alleged president?
Yes. I said they, but yeah, that's what I meant.
Okay.
And he switched the person who's in charge of the Iraq war now to a naval commander, which makes no sense. They're sending an aircraft carrier to the region to say it's a support staff for the Iraq war. And why would you do all that unless you had plans for a naval bombardment of Iran? That's my theory.
So your theory is this is just Iraq is just a way station to Iran.
Exactly. That's my theory that this is Iraq. What could we possibly do with 20,000 more troops in Iraq? It makes no sense. And it makes no sense to everybody except the guy who knows what he's really doing, which is the Bush and Cheney.
To describe them as knowing what they're really doing is a stretch.
Yeah, because logic is what we all like live in. We all live in the world of logic. But we don't know the rest.
Well, they would call us realists because they're not living in the real world. And I'm not kidding. That's what they do call us. Those of us who are of a logical bent, they call us realists because they're living in some delusional state. All right, Frank. So there it is. This is just a rest stop on the road to Iran is your theory. I thank you for sharing.
That is my theory.
Okay. Are you going to call us after the speech? Are you going to listen to the speech?
What's that?
Are you going to listen to the speech at 6?
Oh yeah, definitely.
All right, we want to hear everybody's views after the speech. Thanks.
I'll probably be one calling you tomorrow.
Okay, thanks, Frank. 349-1320-866-2613-20 Mike in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mike.
Hi. When you mentioned hostile enemy, language is very important, and that language is correct. However, the object of who is actually hostile are the neocons who are doing exactly that. They are killing our kids and they are destroying our country. And you've got this drug-addled coward in the White House who's part of that. But if you look at the language...
I like that. I like the drug-addled coward. That's good.
Well, the language they use can be exactly reversed. That's part of the propaganda technique, as you say, exactly what you are doing, and you apply it to the other guy. And that diffuses criticism a little bit. But that's exactly what they're doing.
Well, so calling Ted Kennedy a hostile enemy right here on the home front, that's what they're saying. That's what this Fox anchor...
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that, because that's the kind of language we need to identify the reality of what's going on right now.
So in other words, you say turn it around and it describes the administration.
Yeah, these people are actually hostile to the interests of the United States, and they have been from the day they took office.
Yes, but I think the country has been very slow to recognize it. I think a lot of us saw it, and a lot of people didn't see it, and they didn't want to see it. They didn't want to believe this could even be true. But I think you're right about that, and I thank you for sharing your thoughts, Mike. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Wednesday pre-speech, and we're going to bring you that speech live edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Some slow traffic moving southbound 99 right there by Fruit Ridge Road. We also have a traffic hazard right-hand side of the road, northbound I-5 just north of Laguna Boulevard. And westbound 50 just east of Mayhew. The on-ramp there, it looks like. There's a disabled vehicle slowing traffic way down. Be careful there. I think there we've got a pedestrian on the right-hand side of the road as well. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong. Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Metro PCS presents...
The Internet... It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Mass
massive, massive tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. Your own personal Internet. That is you and me. You and me. Tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out of it. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Yeah. The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Yours until 7 or really later tonight. Actually, it could be quite a lot later, and maybe not. You guys are going to be the deciders, unlike Dickey, our president, who says he's a decider. Well, he may very well be. He's deciding to take us down a big rabbit hole, and we'll find out about that at 6 o'clock, straight up. We are going to be taking his speech, and it is being billed by just about everybody as an historic speech. Well, I say an historic. Some of you say a historic. Oh, I see it both ways in print. You know, anybody who's a grammarian, and I know we have a lot of them listening, lots of you are, tell me what's correct, because I think it should be an historic, not a historic. But there may be another school of thought on this. The language does change. Anyway, it evolves. It evolves, and sometimes it, so his speech is scheduled for 6 o'clock. It's scheduled to run for about 25 minutes or so. We normally say adios to each other at 7. But I think that because the magnitude of the speech is supposed to be, the implications of it, even though we sort of know what's going to happen in advance, are supposed to be so huge, I think it's important that we talk about it and to give all of us an opportunity to be heard on it. Now, I know that when it gets to be towards 7 o'clock, lots of you are home already. You're not in your cars. Maybe you'll be watching the speech on television. But remember that we are going to, if there are enough of you who want to be heard, we'll go long, and we will join Air America Radio and John Elliott's show in progress. So take down these numbers. If you don't have them with you in the house, you should. You could be listening in the house as well, or you might be watching it on TV. But let me give you the numbers to call. 349-1320. Toll free. Doesn't cost you anything. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. 866-626-1320. And I don't know about you, but when I am listening to these speeches, sometimes I get so aggravated, so much, as the Italians say, agita, where you just start talking to yourself, you're mumbling to yourself, or you're mumbling to anybody who's in the room, which could be Fido or Rover. But you can mumble to the rest of us, because I would love to hear what you have to say. And I'll be mumbling a little bit. You'll be able to hear the speech just fine. But if I have anything to chime in as he's talking, I will not hesitate. So that's what's happening at 7 o'clock. We started out today talking about, in this flea market of ideas that calls itself Enid Live, we started out talking about Arnold's healthcare proposals, the skepticism is setting in, the optimism and the inspiration and the grandiosity of the speech yesterday, State of the State. You know, maybe his optimism is enough to move mountains. We'll see whether or not he can get the bipartisanship going. He may be the one to do it. It may be that Phil would have been the better governor, but Phil, a lot of people were angry at Phil, and Phil has some baggage with a lot of people in the state of California, and so they didn't really support him the way they have been happy to support Arnold, even though Arnold's of an opposing party. So who knows? Arnold's not saying how he's going to pay for everything. He's leaving it to our imagination. And the remark from Goethe, which is, when you take that first step, magic sort of kicks in, magic and boldness. It's a great quote. Now, some of you might not remember what it is. I can't remember. I can't summon it verbatim. One of the things your goddess is interested in is retail and business. I love looking at business stories, and I love it because I think it tells us a lot about ourselves. I'm not sure entirely what it does, but I remember I had an aunt who was always starting businesses. One of her first businesses was she was a graduate of art school, actually, was a fruit stand, and she would recruit. I was one of her first. We're her only employee, and I think I was about 12 years old, manning that. My job was to man the fruit stand. But she was a great observer of people, and she would do this in a retail environment, and eventually she did have a business, a retail business. And I've been very interested in several stories. One of them is the Gap story, where they might be sold, and their stock has jumped as a result of it. And another story is the Tiffany story. They were furious that teenagers, listen to this. How can you be furious when one of your items really takes off and boosts your bottom line big time? Well, it was that silver bracelet with the heart that every teenage girl in the universe seemed to wear, and it was $110, I think, originally. And they were so miffed because they thought it would cheapen their image that they boosted the price. It's now maybe $170. It was $110. And they didn't boost it because the silver was more expensive. They wanted to keep the suburban mall kids away from Tiffany and really protect the luxury aspect of the brand. And I wonder if that was really such a hot idea because their sales are down a little bit. 349-1320-866-2613-20. Steve in Auburn. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Enid. Hey, I am not really sure that I'm for or against the universal health care, but I don't understand.
Why would you? Why is there even a question?
Well, it is a question because my girlfriend, she's from Canada, and she has pros and cons on it. And then I've traveled quite a bit throughout my life. And
do you have health care?
Yes, I do.
You have insurance through your employer or self insured?
Self.
So self insured. Okay.
Self-employed.
What does it cost you a month?
The mine's a revolving door type of thing, and I got it through a doctor. And if people could search into it, what I have is it's an annuity account. If I don't use it, say if I don't have any reason to go to the doctor in a year or two, what they do is they'll take 70% of that money and put it into like a different kind of a fund. So I don't lose very much, but it costs me about $6,500 a year.
I haven't ever heard anything about that unless it's a flex spending account. But go ahead. What's your thought, Steve?
Well, my thoughts are the plan hasn't been exactly laid out, and I could see where people would be for it and against it. I mean, there's people that just don't want illegal immigrants to have any benefits, you know, unless they're contributing and whatnot, or if they're legal citizens of our state. And then, but every different group, and not only on your talk show, but on different throughout my days in the last couple of days, it just seems that there's just a bunch of negative impact happening without even getting to the core of it. And I don't understand how come we can't get our legislature to go through and understand the core and see what the good points are and the bad points are before just the, you know, the slanderous or just the degrading remarks come out about it. It's not even...
It hasn't been considered. It's not yet on the table to be considered. And what you're calling slanderous remarks are the vibrant conversations of a democracy. So you're free to express yourself here and any other place. And when it comes to the legislature's official attention, then it will be dealt with and they'll be parsed out and they'll figure it out. That's the way the process works. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, no snow in our future, I don't think. Maybe some flurries we're going to see. Seriously, we're going to see some precipitation for tomorrow. But lows tomorrow night. Tonight, 29, and tomorrow night as well. Highs, 49. Westbound 50 just west of Bradshaw Road. We have a vehicle blocking the on-ramp up there to the freeway service. And southbound 99 just north of westbound Florin. Same thing we've got. Stockton Boulevard in Essinger and northbound I-5 just north of Laguna Boulevard. We have a two-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I'm just going to say right now what we're not saying.
She's not right.
And let the chips fall.
But she's never wrong.
Let the chips fall. Let your chips fall where they may.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
New rule. Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to. Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it, extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Sacramento's left channel.
You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's left channel. And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
The president speaks in 2 hours.
An admission of mistakes and sending more troops to Iraq. I'm Mark Knoller at the White House.
The House votes to raise the minimum wage.
The yeas are 315. The nays are 116.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush's speech to the nation could mark a turning point in the war. CBS News correspondent Mark Knoller joins us live with a preview.
With America nearing the end of 4 years at war in Iraq, President Bush will concede that mistakes were made there. And to address those failures in policy, he'll announce a new strategy that calls for increasing the number of U.S. forces in Iraq by about 22,000. He briefed congressional leaders on the plan, but House Speaker Nancy Pelosi emerged unpersuaded.
The American people have lost confidence in the president's policy. We're hopeful that tonight he will restore that confidence.
Pelosi also complained that she was merely being notified and not consulted about the new strategy, which includes a stern message for the Iraqi government. President Bush will serve notice to Iraqi leaders that America's commitment is not open-ended. He will call on them to act more forcefully to end the sectarian violence or risk losing American support. Live at the White House, I'm Mark Knoller, CBS News.
Prime Minister Maliki, in turn, is putting the Shiite militias on notice, telling them to disarm or face an all-out assault. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports the buildup will begin later this month.
The plan would more than double the number of American troops in Baghdad. The capital will be divided into 9 districts, and a battalion, about 800 soldiers, will be sent into each one to operate with Iraqi forces, clearing out insurgents and death squads. Unlike previous operations, the Americans will stay in the neighborhoods until reconstruction teams can restore water and electricity and put unemployed Iraqis back to work.
Now this.
office in disarray? Can't find what you need? Well, Office Depot has great deals on file folders, binders, filing cabinets, shredders, and storage containers. Plus, we have over 800 calendars and planners to keep you up to date. So hurry in. Let Office Depot lend you a hand getting organized. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Oh, Office Depot!
Let's go out back tonight.
Lick of the day. Go out back tonight. Where fresh R.E. Turner is seasoned, seared, and served on a bed of crisp remain. Start the new year fresh. Leave your worries at the door.
Let's go out back tonight.
Tonight, let go.
Life will still be there tomorrow.
Go out back.
One of the most dangerous places in Iraq is Anbar province, but CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick, who traveled there today, found a hopeful sign. Iraqis are joining the police in large numbers.
We're good? Keep going?
Yeah.
I am in dark.
Their training is conducted by Iraqi commanders, with Americans looking on. A year ago, Ramadi had no police force. Most of its police stations had been destroyed. U.S. troops negotiated with a single police commander to stay on the job. But now tribal sheikhs have urged their followers to sign up. The sheikhs have pledged to work with thousands more U.S. troops to combat al-Qaeda forces here. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, Ramadi.
Correspondent Bob Fuss has today's big news on Capitol Hill.
Rolling over Republican opposition as they push their first 100-hour agenda, House Democrats passed an increase in the minimum wage, the first in 10 years, to slowly bump the federal minimum from $5.15 an hour to $7.25. Connecticut Democrat Rosa DeLauro.
We have an obligation to work to raise the standard of living in America for every single family, not just for the few at the top of the heap.
Republicans insist companies that hire minimum wage workers will need tax breaks and other help to pay the increase. It's likely some benefits for small business will be added to this bill when it gets to the Senate. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Real estate is all about location, and residents of the Briny Breezes Trailer Park are in a prime location, 43 acres on the oceanfront in South Florida. Today they voted overwhelmingly to accept a developer's offer of more than $500 million.
Nobody really wants to leave Briny, but you have to use your common sense.
None of us want to leave Briny, but when you look at the facts and you look at the situation, the infrastructure, what's going to be done here, it's a no-brainer. You got to sell.
Most owners will get more than $1 million.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Minutes after four. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until, well, seven plus, really, and it's going to be up to you to decide. The president's speech, which we are going to bring you live at 6 o'clock, is scheduled to run for about 25 minutes or so. So normally we say goodbye to each other at seven, but I think this is supposed to be a turning point kind of a speech. At least everybody's calling it an historic speech. And I think it's important to be able to comment on it. And if you have comments, we will stay as long as we need to entertain those comments. So instead of screaming at the TV set or the radio, if you're out of your cars by then and already home, let me give you the numbers, because you can call us and we will stay around long enough for you to be heard on this subject. The number is 349-1320, 349-1320. Take it down in case you're in the house. And you're not listening to the radio, you're watching it on TV, but you want to call us and comment, because these are your airwaves. And this is your and our vibrant conversation that happens 5 days a week, weekdays from 3 to 7 typically, but when circumstances warrant, we're malleable on the time, and we're going to go longer today if there are enough of you who want to be heard and there isn't enough time in our usual hours. If you're outside the 916 area code, fear not. It's still free. It doesn't cost you anything. It's toll-free, 866-626-1320, 866-626-1320. You can email me, but no one will hear it. Enid at kctc.com. And we stream live. So if you're stuck in the office and you want to be sure not to miss the speech, or you're someplace else and you want to hear the comment that goes with it, the commentary that will go with it, and the remarks that will go with it from all of us and me, the way to do that, to access it, is to go to the web, 1320leftchannel.com. We're live and interactive at 1320leftchannel, one word, .com. We started the show today by talking about Schwartzy and the health care plan and all the press he's gotten, both for everything that he's doing for the swearing in. It was front page every place for the health care proposal, front page every place for the state of the state address, front page every place. No details on how he's going to pay for it. Well, some details are starting to emerge. And from the Los Angeles Times, he today, Governor today, unveiled. And let me get to that in 1 second. But also, we're talking about the fact that Dickey is out there by himself, hanging by a thread. He's got no support for sending more troops in. Charlie Rangel, now MSNBC is reporting, if I'm getting this accurately, that Charlie Rangel is going to introduce a bill tomorrow reinstating the draft. Reinstating the draft. The Republicans don't want this, and the Democrats don't want this. And then you have a Fox talking head commentator or an anchor who believes that people like Teddy Kennedy are hostile enemies of the state on our own soil. So you might want to comment about any of these things. 349-1320-866-626-1320. What are your thoughts about that? Teddy Kennedy, a hostile enemy of the state? I don't think so. So here's the governor today, unveiled just now. This has just been reported. It's just been released that he has unveiled a restrained $143 billion dollar state spending plan that eases some of California's chronic fiscal problems, in part by restricting welfare payments and denying public transit systems $1.1 billion they were anticipating. So from the poorest, you know, the people who are taking public transit and welfare, that's where he's going to pick it up here. The plan spending from the state's general fund, where most California taxes go, would be $103 billion, an increase of less than 1% from the current fiscal year. What he has done, Republican legislators who've been trashing Schwarzenegger's health care proposal and decrying his general turn to the left were heartened by this relatively austere budget. So they like that. But the Schwarzenegger transportation officials had anticipated that additional money would come their way because of high gas prices. Instead, the money would go to pay for school transportation and pay off some of the state's transportation bond. The state is not going to pay for certain, they want to cut the welfare budget. The budget would reduce the state's welfare, Schwarzenegger's budget would reduce the state's welfare budget by $465 million. The savings would come by eliminating a cost of living adjustment that was supposed to take effect in July for CalWORKs recipients, and by cutting off aid to children whose parents do not meet minimum work requirements or who are in the state illegally and have been receiving such assistance for more than 5 years. What are your thoughts about that? He's going to pay for some of his programs by cutting welfare payments to children whose parents won't work. Now, we've talked about this some in the past, but how much control do the children have over whether or not their parents are working? If their parents are drug-addled, if their parents are mentally challenged, if their parents can't read or write or don't have the skills, if their parents have mental health issues or are disabled, the children are going to be punished. And how the budget's going to reconcile itself by cutting, how he's going to be able to do some of the other things he wants to do, is to cut $465 million from the welfare budget. So no cost of living increase for people who are on welfare, and cutting off aid to children whose parents don't meet minimum work requirements or whose family who are illegal and whose families have been here for more than 5 years. Some of these proposals met strong resistance from Democrats. They've said that they will oppose the welfare reduction. CalWORKs cuts are unacceptable at a time when our state is enjoying unprecedented prosperity, said Assembly Speaker Fabian Nunez. He called the budget a mix of good news and bad news. If you ride a bus or a subway, want to take your kids to a state park, or have to pay for your kids' tuition and fees, then this budget will hit you hard, he said, but it could be worse. He said it could be much worse. Well, Fabienne and Arnold have become really good fast friends, and they have dinner at each other's homes, and everybody is really buddy-buddy, and there it is. Schwarzenegger took a few questions at his press conference today. The first time he has fielded inquiries at all this year, asked about his skiing accident just before Christmas, which resulted in a broken leg. Schwarzenegger said it was one of those very unfortunate accidents. The reason I said it was unfortunate is because it happened at a very slow speed. He said that the ski boot did not pop off, and as he fell, it put pressure on his artificial hip. So he's had heart surgery. The Terminator has got an artificial hip. And what it did is, the way it torqued, it broke his femur. If I were to have that accident at 50 miles an hour, many times I've crashed at that speed, he said nothing happens. He said he'd been very frustrated by the unyielding pain, and he said is, quote, very angry a lot of the time. Well, the pain is supposed to be pretty great. I don't think I can ever remember having had pain, ongoing pain, 24 hours a day, like after this operation, he said. So it's really annoying to me, and believe me, there's nothing I hate more than having an obstacle like this. So this is very frustrating to me. It's very tough on my wife, said Arnold. Any thoughts about this? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So in addition to the orange hair and makeup, the man is a mess of body parts, artificial body parts. You got a hip, you've got some heart stuff, and now you've got his femur cobbled together with cables and screws. It's not funny. I'm not making fun of his situation. Accidents can happen to anybody. And the pain, I can imagine, must be really horrible. Okay, so what we're talking about here is a speech that's going to happen tonight in which the president is, and apparently it's a done deal, and in as few as 5 days, you're going to see 5,000 troops beginning to make their way, additional troops beginning to make their way into Iraq. Some are going to have to do a second tour in order for these numbers to come out right. And Charlie Rangel, MSNBC is reporting that Charlie Rangel is going to institute legislation reinstating the draft tomorrow. How do you think that's going to play out? What the Democrats are planning to do is that they are planning a symbolic votes against the Iraq plan. I don't know how far that's going to go. A lot of Republicans are now speaking out against sending more troops to Iraq, and especially Republicans who have to run in 2008. I don't think they want to be associated with what is just a complete loser issue. President Bush will announce tonight that he is sending more than 21,000 American troops to Iraq to quell the violence there, while conceding for the first time that he provided neither enough troops nor enough resources to control the chaos in Iraq last year. Now, remember when General Eric Shinseki, who said you're going to need more people to do this, and they threw him out. So, as Chris Matthews has indicated, these people give medals to the biggest losers, the people who are most incompetent, the people whose policies have resulted in failure. They ought to give a medal to General Shinseki, because you know what? He had it absolutely right. 349-1320. What about the draft? If it is reinstated, if Charlie Rangel gets any support, he's going to introduce a measure to reinstate the draft tomorrow, MSNBC seems to be reporting. Will he get, I know Republicans and Democrats have not been in favor of it because he will alienate people, but that is perhaps exactly the point. And particularly people who are going to have to go to war, who might be drafted, they're going to take to the streets, and you're going to see a lot of anti-war rhetoric. So my question is, what are your thoughts about that? Is that going to be a good move for Democrats to get behind? 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320, Jared in Loomis. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jared.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
I was just kind of checking in to see that if his quote really did intimate that he's actually ever skied 50 miles an hour.
Well, he might have been speeding on 50 miles an hour, but maybe it wasn't on skis, you know?
If he had any kind of accident of 50 miles an hour, that would really hurt, and he wouldn't be complaining so much right now.
Well, he says he's in pain 24 hours a day. We're in pain as long as he's the governor, but I guess that's another story.
You know, the only other thing I had to say regarding Charlie Rangel is that, you know, if we're all going to get into this together, let's really get into it. I think you had a caller the other day that said pretty much the same thing.
All right, so what do you think about, now Rangel, who served with distinction and honor in the Korean War, has long said there is no equality in this situation. You have the poorest kids who are going because they think that joining the Army or the National Guard will give them some options, pay for some schooling, and they're the ones who are cannon fodder here. And not the children of the rich and the influential and the powerful.
I think George Bush's daughters could benefit from a stint in the Army.
Oh, yeah? What branch?
Well,
the branch that drinks and tangos all the time? That branch?
I wouldn't wish it on any of them, but I think they'd be excellent Army personnel.
Well, I agree with you. You know, let them step up to the plate, those two, and do some Red Cross kind of work. They could do all kinds of volunteer and service work in this country. Or even if they need to get paid and they want to start earning a living, there's all kinds of service sector jobs that they can do. And I'm not aware that that one of them, anyway, has held a job. One of them's supposed to be a teacher. The blonde one, Jenna.
I'd be happy if they just joined the Coast Guard in Wrangell, Alaska or something. You know, that'd be good, too, because that's good, tough.
Can you drink it? Can you drink and tango on the Coast Guard?
No, I don't think so.
Well, maybe.
I wouldn't feel too comfortable having a bunch of drunks on boats. The historical reference to that is very poor.
Okay, Jared. I thank you very much, because these two girls have specialized in under-the-table drinking and falling down drunk drinking. Partying and doing the tango. Jared,
So did I, and I managed to avoid it, too.
I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Eva in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Eva.
Hi. I was just calling about the draft, and there is no way my son is going to go to Iraq and die for the privatization of oil for American big business to buy oil from and steal it from the Iraqi people.
How old is your son?
Excuse me?
How old is your son?
23.
Well, if Charlie Rangel... So what do you think about Charlie Rangel instituting the draft?
I can't hear you very well.
What do you think about Charlie Rangel introducing legislation to reintroduce the draft?
I think it's insane.
I think it's great, and I'll tell you why. We don't want to see your kid go, and that's exactly why. Because people will take to the streets. They will be so outraged to think that maybe one of their loved ones might be drafted.
Right.
And I think what he's thinking is to put an end to this. Now, let me ask you about your 23-year-old son. Is he at all politically engaged? Does he read the newspaper?
Yes.
Okay.
And he is, and he's registered to vote, and he does vote.
Well, then we like that a lot. That's good.
And I think I'll have to move him to Canada. That's the only, you know, if it came to that, I would definitely take him.
Well, Eva, that's exactly what a lot of parents did during the Vietnam War.
Right. I know my husband was drafted in 1971 for Vietnam, and it was the worst thing that could have ever happened to him. It ruined his life.
He went.
Going through the Vietnam War.
Yes, but he served. He served.
Yes, he did serve.
Well, I'm going to tell you, one of my mother's friends served, and he died recently. He came back a changed person. Somebody who was lighthearted and funny and had a really great sense of humor came back an addict. He never could get his life together. He was addicted to booze and to drugs,
right,
and to everything else. And he was never able to put the pieces back of his life together.
Right.
And he died recently. Eva, I thank you very much for the call. What do you think about the draft? Charlie Rangel, I'm assuming he's doing it as a kind of strategic maneuver. He is supposed, I saw the crawl on MSNBC. And if you ever looked at closed captioning, it's an English-like language. I mean, forget about it. It's the worst. I think they have machines that do it. But it looks like he's going to be reinstituting introducing legislation tomorrow to reinstitute the draft. What are your thoughts about that? Joe in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well, Joe.
All right, here's the deal. You know, I'm sick and tired of everybody complaining. I'm getting ready to go back to Iraq on my second tour. I'm active duty, and I'm telling you right now, we need the draft because, one, there's no wartime tax, so how is everybody paying for this thing? Two, there's no draft. So everybody, if they're, unless they're not directly affected by this war, it's out of sight, out of mind. I'm going to go buy toys for Christmas.
That is, you got that right, Joe. Now, your second tour of duty, are you in the National Guard, or what are you?
No, I'm an active duty soldier that's stationed here in Sacramento for 2 years, thank God, because, it was a special assignment for me.
Wait a minute. You have already been deployed to Iraq?
Oh, yes. I was over there when Abu Ghraib went down. That's a whole other story.
So how long were you there?
12 months.
And you're going again to Iraq?
Yes.
When?
I arrive at my next duty assignment, and I'll be gone probably in the December time frame.
You leave in a year?
I'm sorry?
You leave in a year?
Yes.
Well, I hope it's over before then.
Well, I hope so, too.
Are you looking forward to doing this again? And give us some description of what
I got a wife and three kids. I'm not looking forward to going back over there and playing convoy roulette. You know, it's not fun. It's not good. But I'm telling you right now, the thing that really fires me up in this country is when I bring it up with my friends, I go to Sac State, and I tell them, I'm like, there needs to be a draft. There needs to be a tax. And everybody's quick to say, no, I don't want my kids to go, or I don't want to pay a tax. Well, then people need to get in the streets, and they need to start protesting about this thing more so they can stop it, because right now nothing's happening. We're just continuing to piecemeal this thing, and guys are getting killed for nothing.
There was a poll taken, and most in the military is not in favor. Most of the troops, people on the ground, boots on the ground, are not in favor of this surge, this escalation. Your thoughts?
I'm not in favor of it at all. I'm not in favor of the war, for one. And I'm not definitely in favor of sending another 20,000 troops to Baghdad so they can just get blown up sitting in Baghdad. It's not a good situation.
Give us a flavor, since you've been there, Joe. Give us a flavor of what a day consists of. I mean, is it something from where you go from boredom to terror just very quickly, or what happens?
For me, as soon as you go outside the gate, you're immediately in the red zone, you call it. You're constantly looking and scanning, and anything on the side of the road could be an IED. I mean, a cement block that was filled could have explosives inside it, and you're constantly looking at that stuff. Dead dogs on the side of the road could have bombs inside of them, and then you got to worry about the snipers, and so you're constantly thinking about this stuff when you're outside the wire, so to speak. And then when you drive down the road, you're just, oh my God, is this going to be it? You know, and you make it, and you go through the day, and each day lasts. For me, when I was there, I'd wake up at 6 in the morning, and I'd go to bed at about 11 at night. And I did that for 12 months, and I worked every day of the week doing that.
When you are leaving, I assume the green zone to go into the red zone, what's your job? What are you supposed to be doing in the red zone?
Well, red zone, it's a military term for the you're kind of in a high state of alert. You're looking, and it's very tiring because you're constantly scanning and paying attention to the situation around you, and so you're in the red zone.
But what's your job there? Why are you in the red zone?
Right, I'm a military police guy, and I was in CID when I was over there, and so we had to go out and investigate all the hostile fire deaths of U.S. soldiers, and we had to go out, and so we would go to the scene to where soldiers were blowing up, you know, minutes earlier. And we'd have to conduct an investigation and try and find out who was making the IEDs. It was a big task force and all that.
So this must be very awful to be watching blown up body parts of people that you may or may not have known, but who are American soldiers.
Yeah, well, I can tell you one case I'll never forget. It was a soldier that was the helicopter, it was a CH-46 that got shot down. And he was going home to bury his mom, who died of a heart attack or some other health complication. And he was killed in the helicopter crash. He had a pocket full of money to pay for her funeral. And
he was on his way out of the zone, and he gets shot down from the skies.
Yeah, this was about 3 years or two, three years ago, when there was a CH-46 that got shot down that was full of soldiers who were going home on R&R. It was like 30 some soldiers or something.
Wow.
And he was going home to bury his mom. You know, there was an 18-year-old female on there. I'll never forget, you know, looking at her. I mean, I can remember one day an EOD guy was killed defusing a bomb, and his partner was in the morgue, and we were in there talking with him, and then about a week later, he was in there. And it's just, it's a meat grinder, and it's people do not know. Unless you're on the ground over there, people don't know, and that's what makes me so mad when these politicians go over to Baghdad. None of them leave the green zone.
What? tell us what CID stands for.
That's Criminal Investigation Division.
Okay. And tell us what happens in the Green Zone. It's supposed to look like a shopping mall in any American city, right? You got fast food joints or no? Is that...
Well, the Green Zone is now, that was when I was there, it was called the Green Zone. Now it's called the International Zone. It's basically the surrounded, it's a city within the city. It's where all the Iraqi nationals that work for the Iraqi government work. It's where the U.S. Embassy is. It's a secure area inside Baghdad, the bubble, so to speak. And so when the politicians go to Iraq, that's where they go. They don't ever go outside the wire. They don't ever experience driving down the road in the middle of the road at 60 miles an hour, because you don't drive on the right side of the road because that's where a bomb is. So you drive down the middle of the road. And when the congressmen and congresswomen don't know that, unless, you know, like, God bless, there's some vets that just got elected into office. They understand it because they've seen it and they've experienced it. And just flying in into the airport and then getting bussed over to the Green Zone, they're not experiencing anything. They might hear a mortar round go off, big whoop-de-doo. They might hear a rocket, that's no big deal. But when you got an IED that blows up in front of you or an RPG that goes off right in front of you, that's when you need to realize that, holy cow, people are dying here.
All right, what about the people, the right wing, who calls in and says, we're not getting accurate reports. In fact, this war is a success. They have a democracy over there. It's a really successful enterprise.
That's just like trying to convince a Christian that there's no God. I mean, you can't reason with somebody when they have they've already made up their mind that this is what's going on. Then there's no reasoning with someone like that when they say it's a success. I saw a lot of rebuilding projects that were going on, but I also saw a lot of people trying to kill us while we were there. As far as the Iraqi police go, I don't know. I mean, they're standing up to the plate, and a lot of those guys want to do well, but the problem is it all goes back to sectarian violence. You get the Sunnis and the Shiites and the Kurds, and everybody hates each other. And here we are getting into the mix, and everybody wonders why the British got out of Iraq, and now we're back. You know, now we're over there trying to sort this stuff out.
What is the what independent contractors? We hear that there are 100,000 of them. Do you come in contact?
The reason why we have the independent contractors is because the Army was downsized. And so now when the Army was downsized back in the 80s and 90s, all those jobs went away that were normally filled with what we call green suiters, soldiers. And now you've got independent contractors having to fill that void, which is Halliburton and all those guys.
And they're getting paid a whole lot more than you are to be there.
Oh, certainly. There's guys that are getting paid $100,000 a year. There's guys that were making $10,000, $15,000 a month working protection, doing security for different VIPs over there. And we have guys within CID that are getting paid $30,000, $40,000 a year. And the problem is we just don't have enough people in the military. The military is too small, but nobody wants a big military. So it's a catch-22. You're darned if you do and you're darned if you don't.
What is it like? How do you think you're changed from having spent a year in Iraq?
I've lost patience. My wife will be the first one to tell anybody. I'm not as patient as I used to be, and I'm also I get a little bit nervous with when I drive down the road. I drive I don't say very fast, but I drive much faster than I used to when I drive down the freeway, because if you go slow, you're going to get shot at or you're going to get bombed, and that's just the bottom line. So. When you're there for 12 months and you carry a rifle around for 12 months and you use it on a regular basis, it's hard to get rid of those feelings and those actions that you do. And when I got back, I felt naked without my rifle. I felt naked without my body armor. It was weird. And the good thing is the Army and they're doing this. They're doing a good job on this. There's a lot of help for people who ask for it. And I think the stigmatism of back in the old days when people would say, oh, I got battle fatigue or it's post-traumatic. But I think that's starting to lessen significantly, and people are actually taking care of the soldiers and trying to help them. And, of course, when you have an organization as large as the Army, there's always going to be a few folks in there who do stupid stuff. And that's like I use the analogy all the time. Police departments here in California don't hire 18-year-old kids out of high school, give them a gun and a badge, and tell them to go uphold the law because they're too immature. But the Army will give them a gun and tell them to go fight the war in Iraq. And when you've got young, immature 18-year-old kids
over there, you know, some of them are going to do something stupid, and that's been the downfall of what, you know, a lot of the problems that we've had over there.
Have they kept you longer than you were originally scheduled to be in service on stop loss orders, or is this the term you would have been in anyway?
I'm sorry, you broke.
Have they kept you longer? Has the military kept you in longer than you normally would have been on stop loss orders, or would you have been, or is this your term anyhow?
Well, I'm an officer, so I didn't. The unit that I was in wasn't scheduled to go back to Iraq, so I didn't fall under stop loss or stop move, and so I wasn't caught under the backdoor draft. But I've had friends who are in those units that rotate in and out of Iraq on a daily basis. Or when I say daily, I mean every other year. Those guys fall under stop move and stop loss, and they can't get out. And so those guys are kind of hosed over. Then the folks who think they got out, a lot of officers think they get out, and they realize that they fall under the inactive ready reserve, and within 6 months they get a letter at their house saying they've been ordered back to active duty. And those guys have to go back to active duty or face potential criminal prosecution for failing to come back to active duty.
Are there any who are considering it instead of going back?
I have a buddy that works in San Jose right now that was in the 3rd Infantry Division during the ground war. He got out, and they sent him the letter, and he's ignored the letters. They don't have any proof that he's gotten them because they've never sent them certified. But he's told me he's never going back, and he's not going to answer the letter.
And what's the criminal prosecution? What are the penalties?
Well, they would have to bring you back on active duty, and then they would have to try you for failure to obey a lawful order, conduct unbecoming an officer, all that kind of stuff.
And what's the penalty if they are successful in the prosecution?
I haven't read anything on
it. There are attorneys who handle this, and they do it on a pretty sliding scale kind of, in fact, I met one of them, and he ought to, anybody who's in that situation might want to consult with one of these attorneys, because I think it, how are you feeling about the prospect of actually having to go back?
I go back because I am a volunteer. I'm serving the country, and that's just the way it is. I'm a career guy. I'm a lifer, they say. I don't agree with the war, but I don't have the right to pick and choose what my quote-unquote elected officials say I have to do. I just have to execute that. Now, for some of these kids who signed up for a 3-year contract and they weren't planning on sticking around for more than 3 years, I think those kids should be allowed to get out. But I think we've now.
It's got to be hell. It's got to be hell. It's like a labyrinthine hell that you cannot get out of because you went in for a fixed period of time and you are never getting out. It's like Kafka-esque. Are you a graduate of one of the service academies, Joe?
I'm an ROTC guy. I went to Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo, did ROTC, graduated in 97, and I've been in ever since.
Well, all I can say is God bless you, and I hope you'll call us, and any kinds of updates you have from your buddies or what's going on, you might want to call us after you listen to the president's speech tonight. Are you going to listen? It's at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to listen. I heard that he was actually going to possibly admit that he made a mistake, and I'd like to hear that.
Yeah, well, as a sales pitch for mea culpa, I made a mistake, but now I'm not going to make a mistake. For 4 years I've been making mistakes, but now you got to trust me, I'm not going to make another mistake.
Well, the main thing is I think he really needs to listen to what the other congressmen and congresswomen and senators are saying, because he's supposed to be a representative of the American people, and when you've got as many people in America saying that we need to pull out and get out, he needs to go with what the American people are saying. He can't sit up there and not listen.
Hear, and I'm going to share with you an old Talmudic expression. If 9 people tell you you look sick, go home and lay down. So he has got no support. Everybody is telling him that this is a loser, that this is nothing that anybody wants to support. His generals don't support it. The public doesn't support it. Congress doesn't support it. And he's still going to go it alone. And he's going to mea culpa just enough to seem like a sympathetic figure. We'll see how well it plays. Joe, thank you so much, and God bless you for your service to the country. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We will take your calls as we continue. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Well, thank you very much, Enid. So westbound 50 just west of Stockton Boulevard, Grant Avenue and California Avenue, we have a couple of car crashes there. And North Sag at Arista and Bainbridge, a hit and run, no injuries, but emergency vehicles are blocking the lane. And we could do what they did back in World War II to conserve money and stuff like that. You know, don't waste gas, don't waste electricity. That might help the traffic out a little bit, don't you think? Not a bad idea. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Love Channel.
The truth, according to Enid, will set you free.
Really?
Call her now at 349-1320.
Oh, hi. How are you?
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it.
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to the, all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott! It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins, just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
No more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate. And then up your ass. All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. Your own personal internet. That is you and me. You and me. Tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
.41 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I just want to remind you that we are going to be carrying the president's historic speech. It's being called historic at 6 o'clock. We will take it live and we will take your calls afterward. And if there are enough of you calling, we will go long and cut into the John Elliott show. We will rejoin that show in progress, but we will be here for you because I think a lot of us are going to have a lot of things to say about that speech. He's going to have to really finally craft something. He's going to admit mistakes and that's what's being theorized. Now, I have MSNBC on, and it says that one Republican senator
Ted Cochran, Republican of Mississippi, says that the president deserves our support. And also, I saw a crawl that says, here's Rudy Giuliani. I support the president's increase in troops. Rudy Giuliani is saying that. And I saw a crawl with, and here's a Republican, George Voinovich, who says he's skeptical of the troop surge. And I saw a crawl where Charlie Rangel is supposed to be introducing legislation tomorrow to reinstitute the draft. And I'm wondering whether that was an old crawl or some old footage, because we can't find anything more about it. So if anybody's actually heard of this, I hate to be purveying inaccurate information. Charlie Rangel floated that idea a while ago, and the Democrats put the kibosh on him, and the Republicans definitely don't want to hear about it. Nobody does. But maybe it's a strategic move just to get everybody marching in the streets. It doesn't actually have to come to pass. And as a way to apply public pressure against the president, who's going to go it alone. He's got no support from his generals. He's got no support from Congress, and he's got no support from the American public, really, not in significant numbers, and he's going to still go the way that he and Dick Cheney want to go. So they are hanging out there by themselves. What are your thoughts? 349-1320. Take down this number. So if you are at home after the president's speech and you are watching it on TV, you'll be able to call in, weigh in, and instead of hurling a shoe at the TV set or at the radio, you'll be able to call us, and we can discuss it. 866-626-1320. Doesn't cost you a penny to call in. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We have a line open. Let's go to the phones and to Dan in Colfax. Hi, you're live with Enid, Dan. What's on your mind?
I'm 61 years old. I was a combat veteran, Vietnam officer. And I want to tell you, that young man, he should understand that his duty not to obey illegal, unlawful orders. And so when he just sort of writes that off and forgets about that, saying he's a volunteer, well, there's the perfect answer not to have a draft. If everybody wants to volunteer and they want to die in a war that they think they're volunteer for the right reasons, of course they're not, because they're not, they may not be stupid, but they're certainly uninformed, maybe a little bit of both. My son's not going. He's 18, and I don't care whether there's a draft or no draft. He's not going. I love him too much to let him go.
Is he politically involved? Does he read a newspaper? Does he know what's going on?
No, I don't think so.
But if there were a draft, he'd get politically involved. He'd take to the streets, wouldn't he? And I think probably that's what Rangel is a puckish old guy, and he's a smart old guy. And he is probably what he has in mind if, in fact, our information is accurate.
I hope it's right. I hope that's exactly what it is. It's a political
because
point.
The crawl I saw, unless it was a piece of misinformation from MSNBC, and if anybody else saw it also, yes, they're talking about it now. Okay, are you listening to it? Here, Rangel is introducing, we were right, we were on it. Rangel's introducing a bill to reinstate the draft, and the military doesn't like it because they don't want people who are, you know, civilians coming in who have been conscripted against their will. They want people who really want to be there.
They're better soldiers.
Yeah. Dan,
no, volunteers are not better soldiers. Don't kid yourself.
They're not better soldiers? Well, they want to be there, so presumably they're more interested in it.
No, they're not better soldiers. Most of them are interested in having a career. You don't have much of a career when you don't live very long.
I don't get it. I'm not sure what you mean.
You get it?
No, you're saying that...
How can you have a long career if you're getting shot up? You don't have...
Yeah, but if you're there for a career, what's the point of getting shot up in 2 seconds?
Well, that's not the point. Everybody's supposed to take their risks, aren't they, if they're in the military?
Well, not if they're careerists. They figure out a way to get you to take their risk.
Oh, right, I see. So
yeah.
You're going to trust volunteers who are interested in their career but not defending their country.
All right, Dan, I thank you for the call. 349-1320. It is true. Charlie Rangel is going to introduce a bill to reinstate the draft, and he's going to do it tomorrow. He did it. Wait, he did it, apparently. Apparently it was done on Tuesday to reinstate the military draft. It apparently was done yesterday. Now, the crawl I saw said that he would do it tomorrow. But the CNN version of the story that I have said that he introduced the bill yesterday. Well, we didn't hear anything about it last night, so maybe they don't have it right. But anyway, he is introducing a bill to reinstate the draft. We have a line open, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. What are your thoughts? Erin in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Erin.
Well, I just find it tragic that, we would need to take to the streets in order to reverse the actions of a few powerful people. And I find it equally as tragic that it would take something as drastic as a draft in order to get people to rise up against this.
But that's exactly, but what's so tragic about that? That's a democracy speaking. That is a democracy in action. And that is what closed down the Vietnam War. All the protests, everything else finally got to them. A lot of other factors as well, but
this is true, but it's sad that we have to go to those extremes. Our democracy.
Why? You want to be able to just do it as, Aaron, you want to do it as easily as just clicking on your remote or firing up your iPod? It's a lot more complicated.
Well, yeah, you're definitely right about that. I think that we should be voting the right people in office is what we should be doing.
But if perchance we get the politicians we deserve, apparently, and we have a 2-term president, we got Dickey in there, and he isn't going to listen to anybody.
Yeah.
Then I think we need to be heard, and we need to take to the streets to do it. That's one way to do it.
Well, ultimately, I'm against the draft. I understand the point behind it, and I think it's a valid point, but I'm ultimately against it. I think that we've got to come up with another way to do this.
Aaron, I thank you for the call. 349-1320, Virginia in Grass Valley. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Virginia.
Hi, Enid. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
I just have to set the record straight because this is driving me nuts. We have been protesting. I have been protesting my butt off. And, for instance, in 2005, I marched with 350,000 other people in Washington, D.C. to end the war in September. It was September 2005. Ramsey Clark was there, Cindy Sheehan, Joan Baez sang. And you know what? We saw no cameras. 350,000 people.
I know it. I know it.
Also, the Stop the Bush Regime protest that they held in October in Sacramento, no cameras. And then Al Martinez with the L.A. Times did an editorial about a month ago on how the anti-war movement is dead. It's not. It's we're out there. It's the fault of the media. They're not doing what they're supposed to do in democracy.
We're trying to do it on our part. And I think what Charlie Rangel is trying to do is jolt the American public awake. I think that's really what he has in mind. I don't think anybody...
The public is awake. How do we get the media out to cover these things?
I think it's beginning to happen. I think you've got to keep hammering away as you have been doing. And it must be really frustrating because you're hammering away and nothing's happening.
Right.
But finally, I think a tipping point happens, and maybe we're very close to it. And Virginia, thank you for doing.
Thank you so much for what you're doing.
Yeah, well, thank you for doing what you do. We appreciate it. My 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Wednesday pre-presidential speech edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Some traffic moving slow at Ballantyne Street and Fruit Ridge Road. There's a two-car crash there. Grant Avenue at California Avenue and Artist at Bainbridge. That is all the traffic that I have for you today at 4:49 in rush hour traffic in Sacramento. No hit and runs. I'm amazed. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Enid Goldstein, a sign of intelligent life in the political universe. On AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Sacramento.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The LA City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them. Artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. if novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions of folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area. So stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins, just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cash Creek Casino Resort.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
About gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the 3 blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe, or kill the people who live on top of it. extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320. The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
4:56 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, and I do have an apology for you. The information I have on Charlie Rangel introducing the bill to reinstate the draft comes from CNN, but it was from last fall. So we made an error. But what I did see on the crawl from MSNBC was that Rangel was going to introduce legislation to reinstitute the draft tomorrow, it looks like. Now, maybe that was old footage. We're still trying to nail it down. I think it would just be a delicious idea. But the Democrats, when Rangel tried to do it, they did try to put the kibosh on him. And the Republicans don't want it either. So if there are legs to this story, and I do apologize to you because we thought that there were, or I did anyway, and I was given some information on Rangel introducing the bill, but it is not current. It was from a couple of months ago, and we just didn't look at the date closely enough. So we apologize to you for that. We always try to get it right. We try to get it fast, but we try to get it right. And sometimes in the push to get it quickly,
News. I'm Mark Noller, live at the White House. 1 hour from now, President Bush goes before the American people to admit policy failures in Iraq while announcing an increase in U.S. forces there. In an address to the nation from the library of the White House residence, Mr. Bush will unveil a new strategy that commits nearly 22,000 more troops to Iraq. But that doesn't sit well with Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid.
We have Democratic and Republican senators who are concerned about this escalation in the war.
The president's speech will also include a stern message for Iraqi leaders, warning them to take more forceful action to end the sectarian violence. If they don't, says Mr. Bush, they'll lose the support of the American people. live at the White House. I'm Mark Knoller. With more CBS News, here's Bill Whitney.
The deployment will start this month, and CBS News correspondent David Martin reports most of the additional troops will go straight to the Iraqi capital.
About 17,500 soldiers will be assigned to the Baghdad operation, some deployed around the outskirts in what amounts to a giant cordon around the entire capital to try to keep insurgents from filtering in or out. Another 4,000 Marines are being sent to western Iraq to fight al-Qaeda terrorists.
The president will be asking Congress for $6.8 billion to cover the costs of this new plan. House Democrats can cross another item off their first 100 hours agenda. Today, as CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports, they passed an increase in the federal minimum wage.
The House bill would give a small raise now to those at the minimum, and over the next 2 years bring it up to $7.25 an hour. Still not much for a full-time worker with a family, but better than the $5.15 where it's been stuck for the past 10 years. House Democrats rejected Republican efforts to link the increase to some tax benefits for small businesses that hire a lot of minimum wage workers, but that may end up in the final bill that passes the Senate.
A lot of House Republicans joined the Democrats today. The vote was 315 to 116. After Hurricane Rita hit Texas, a bus evacuating nursing home residents caught fire on the road, killing 23 elderly people. Today, the owner of the bus company was sentenced to 5 years probation for poor maintenance of his fleet. Getting out of prison can be hazardous to your health. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports on a Washington State study that found newly released inmates are much more likely to die than the general population.
Drug overdoses were by far the biggest killer in the 2 weeks following release, accounting for more than 70% of the deaths. After 2 years, they were still the major cause of death among ex-inmates, followed by heart disease, murder, and suicide.
Experts say the findings show the need for better programs to help ex-cons cope with life on the outside. The price of oil continued its downward spiral today, closing at $54.02 a barrel. Stocks were higher, the Dow up 25 points, the Nasdaq up 15. This is CBS News.
So where do you two keep the books for your contracting business?
It's all up in the old noggin.
Yep, all our sales figures are right in his head.
I see. Does that concern you?
Not at all.
Every waking moment.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
We need that.
Are you sure? I got it all right here.
I'm sure.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at CompUSA, OfficeMax, or Circuit City.
Why settle for another pre-made combo meal when right now you can get a Subway Fresh Value Meal at a great price? A delicious sub with chips and a drink. The Subway Fresh Value Meal. What a deal. Subway restaurants, where freshness meets value. Subway. Eat fresh.
Offer good on regular 6-inch sub bag of chips and 21-ounce drink. Subway's registered trademark of Doctors Associates, Inc.
By an overwhelming margin, residents of a manufactured home community in South Florida have voted to sell their double-wide slices of paradise for mansion money. CBS News correspondent Peter King has the story.
A developer made them an offer they couldn't refuse. $510 million for the trailer park town of Briny Breezes. About 80% of the town's residents, who are also the owners, voted to take the money and run. For Kevin Dwyer, it's a huge windfall.
A little over $800,000. Yeah, before taxes and everything.
Others will become millionaires. Briny Breezes sits between the Atlantic Ocean and the Intracoastal Waterway, prime real estate here in Florida. The new owner will build high-end condos and hotels. Peter King. CBS News, Orlando.
A few flakes fell from the sky in the New York area today. No accumulation, but it ended the longest period without snow in 129 years. It's been a very warm winter so far. Last weekend, temperatures reached into the 70s, but forecasters say cold is coming.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Because you look so fine that I really want to make you mine. Four, five, six, come on and get your kicks. Now you don't need the money when you look like that, do you, honey? Five, six,
5:05, 5 minutes after 5 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Yours until after 7, 3 to 7 weekdays usually, but we are going to carry the president's, it is being called by everybody who makes these calls, an historic speech, because he is going to make a case for why he wants to send 20 to 30,000 troops to Iraq. And it turns out that within 5 days, they're already going to be there. Some of them, 5,000 of them or so, are already going to be there. So, I mean, it's not even anything that he cares about how you respond. But I care about how you respond. He is going it alone. Dick and Dickey, they are going it alone. They don't have the support of the American public. They don't have the support of most of the Congress. And they don't have the support of the generals, even though he's managed to do some arm twisting. And some of these generals are happy to pull their punches, but they are not happy about what he is doing. And they are going it alone. And we saw some footage. At least it looked like it. Now, it might have been old footage. And there was a crawl, you know, those labels underneath Charlie Rangel saying that he was going to reinstitute legislation, or he was going to introduce legislation reinstituting the draft tomorrow. Well, I know that when he tried it last fall, the Democrats put the kibosh on him because they don't want it. The Republicans don't want it, but I think it would be a great puckish move. Now, we're not sure that that was entirely accurate. It might have been old footage. So if anything along those lines developed, so I apologize for that part of it. But we are going to take your calls after the speech. So normally we would be saying goodbye to each other at 7, and we still might. But if there are a lot of you who call in and want to be heard on the president's speech and what your thoughts are about it, whether he made his case, whether he didn't make his case, anything that you want to say instead of screaming at the TV set, you can come and talk to this huge audience that we have here on Enid Live and on AM 1320. And remember, that you can listen on the net if you are nowhere near a radio, or you want some company as you're going about your whatever you're doing. You can just go to 1320leftchannel.com. 1320leftchannel.com. And we stream live. You can email me, enid@kctc.com. enid@kctc.com. You've never called a talk radio show before, and most of you haven't. 99.9% of you have never called a radio show or called mine. And we know you're there. We know that very, very few of the a very tiny percentage of the audience ever calls in. So let me urge you to be heard on this issue, and particularly after the president speaks tonight. We'd love to hear what you have to say. Maybe you are a Republican or a conservative, and you think it's a good idea to send 30,000 troops into Iraq. Maybe you are a Republican, a conservative, a Democrat, a libertarian, and you think that Dickey is doing a fine job, and this is the way we've got to go. By the way, I meant to... share this with you yesterday, but it's been reported that Peter Cameo, who was the Green Party candidate for governor, has been diagnosed with cancer. So I don't know to what extent and what any of the specifics are. I just know that much, and so we send him our good wishes. I began the show with this little observation, and I want to throw it into the conversation again. Remember that Nancy Pelosi is number three. She is three heartbeats away from the presidency. Actually, another way to look at it is that she now stands just two indictments away from the presidency. Two indictments away from the presidency. Okay, let me share some of the information that I have about the speech tonight. First of all, Democrats are planning symbolic votes against the Iraq plan. Let me talk to you about how Dickey tried to pull away from his generals. Let me share this with you. When President Bush goes before the American people tonight, and this is the Washington Post reporting, to outline his new strategy for Iraq. I don't think he ever had a strategy for Iraq. Every day there was another name. They always brand things. You know, it's got mission accomplished, the new way forward. They've got a million brands that are completely and utterly forgettable. So here is the new way forward is tonight. But when he goes before the American people to outline his new strategy for Iraq, he will be doing something he has avoided since the invasion of Iraq in March 2003. And that is, he will be ordering his top military brass to take action they initially resisted and advised against. They have resisted and they have advised against. Bush talks frequently of his disdain for micromanaging the war effort and for second-guessing his commanders. It's important to trust the judgment of the military when they're making military plans, he told the Washington Post just last month in an interview. I am a strict adherer to the command structure. So not only is he a uniter, not a divider, and he's a decider, but he is also an adherer. He sounds like superglue. But over the past 2 months, as the security situation in Iraq has deteriorated, and as U.S. public support for the war has dropped, Bush has pushed back against his top military advisors and the commanders in Iraq. He has fashioned a plan to add up to 20,000 troops to the 132,000 U.S. service members already on the ground. As Bush plans it, the military will soon be surging, call it an escalation, in Iraq 2 months after an election that many Democrats interpreted as a mandate to begin withdrawing troops. And by the way, they probably won't come out until around the time of before the 2008 election. So you think they're not playing a strategic little chess game here? Joe Biden thinks, and other people think, that by sending 20,000-30,000, it's not enough to really do the job. But it's enough for Dickey not to declare failure on his watch, and then he gets to dump it in the lap of whoever his successor is. So he can't, they can't cry defeat on his watch. It's just a way, using other people's lives, as he has done his whole career, in order to fortify yet another failure, and this one's spectacular. Pentagon insiders say members of the Joint Chiefs have long opposed the increase in troops and are only grudgingly going along with the plan because they have been promised that the military escalation will be matched by renewed political and economic efforts in Iraq. You know, they shouldn't do it. They ought to vote their conscience. General John Avezay, the outgoing head of Central Command, said less than 2 months ago that adding U.S. troops was not the answer for Iraq. And so, goodbye to Avezay. I think he just lost his job. Bush's decision appears to mark the first major disagreement between the White House and key elements of the Pentagon over the Iraq war since General Eric Shinseki, then the Army Chief of Staff, split with the administration in the spring of 2003 over the planned size of the occupation forts, which he regarded as too small. And you know, they threw him out. They really ushered him out the door, and they were insulting to him. They sort of humiliated him on the way out as they kicked him in the rear. It may also be a sign of increasing assertiveness from a commander-in-chief described by former aides as relatively passive about questioning the advice of his military advisor. In going for more troops, Bush is picking an option that seems to have little favor beyond the White House and a handful of hawks on Capitol Hill and in think tanks who've been promoting the idea almost since the time of the invasion. And by the way, these are mostly chicken hawks. It seems clear to me that the president has taken more positive control of this strategy, said Lindsey Graham. He understands that the safety of the nation and his legacy is all on the line here. So is this all about his legacy? Is this about preserving his delusions? Is this about preserving his ego? Others familiar with Bush's thinking, if you could call the agitation like in a washing machine that occurs in his brain thinking, said that he had not been happy with the military's advice. The president was not satisfied with the recommendations he was getting, and he thought we need a strategy that was more purposeful and likely to succeed if Iraqis could make that possible, said Philip Zelikow, who recently stepped down as State Department counselor after being involved with Iraqi policy for the past 2 years. The impulse may well expose Bush to more criticism from Democrats on Capitol Hill, who have sharply condemned him for not listening to General Shinseki's counsel in the beginning. I think a number of our military leaders have pulled their punches and will continue to pull their punches publicly, said Carl Levin, the new chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, Michigan senator. McCain, from only a few months after the start of the war in 2003, John McCain has argued that the U.S. troop presence in Iraq is too light. He and a band of allies sought to use the post-election policy review to press their case. And in part, what is happening here and why they decided on sending 20,000 to 30,000 more troops in is to do something that was not recommended by the Iraq Study Group. As described by participants in an administration review, some staff members on the National Security Council became enamored of sending more troops in part because, listen to this, because it was not a key feature of Baker Hamilton. So they don't want to be seen as Poppy's men and women coming in to tell Dickey what to do. So they're going to pick an option that the Iraq Study Group, that Baker Hamilton, did not include as an option. They're going to show their independence. These people are crazy. These people are absolutely crazy. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. What are your thoughts about this? From the beginning, the Joint Chiefs resisted the idea of sending more troops, and they had doubts that Maliki would really confront the militias controlled by fellow Shiites, notably Muqtada. So here it is. The Joint Chiefs are also worried that sending more troops would set up the U.S. military for an even bigger failure with no backup options. So in less than, in about 45 minutes, the president is going to craft, you know, he's going to make his pitch to the American public. Now, what he's going to say, I don't know. But here's Modo today in the New York Times. You know, the analogy that I have used is a gambler who's sitting at the table, and he is down big, but he knows, he just knows that he can win. He is really going to win. All he needs is some more money. All he needs is some more troops, and he knows he can turn it around. He knows this is his lucky. He's blowing on those craps big time, and he knows he's going to win. Well, in Maureen Dowd's column today, she says, it isn't really a romance turned sour because it was never sweet. The American military's cocky heroes were supposed to sweep in and carry off a poor, grateful Iraq to security and bliss, like Richard Gere did Deborah Winger in the finale of An Officer and a Gentleman. The strategy was, love lifts us up where we belong, where the eagles cry, on a mountain high. Didn't happen, yet the search goes on in this country obsessed with hookups and breakups for the right relationship metaphor to describe our deadly embrace of Iraq. Tom Friedman in the New York Times wrote last week, whenever I hear this surge idea, I think of a couple who recently got married, but the marriage was never very solid. Then one day they say to each other, hey, let's have a baby. That'll bring us together. Tom Friedman writes, it never works. If the underlying union is not there, adding a baby won't help. So that's what you've got here. You know, this is the baby that they're going to have, and this is how they're going to make it work. 349-1320, 866-626-1320 is the number. What are your thoughts? The generals aren't going along with this. Most of Congress doesn't want it either. The American people do not want this to happen. What are your thoughts? How is he going to make a pitch? Now, what is being reported is that he's going to admit all of his errors here, all the things that didn't work. He's going to do a big mea culpa. He's going to say this didn't work and that didn't work. Now, I don't see how he's going to craft a pitch that's going to turn anybody's minds around. I don't see how he's going to do it. He's going to tie the troop increase to U.S. to U.S.'s fate in Iraq. He will announce tonight that he is sending more than 21,000 American troops to Iraq to quell the violence there. And he will tell the American people, this is the New York Times reporting, that a troop increase at this crucial moment will bring American forces home faster and help assure survival of a young democracy. Are people going to believe him? There are a lot of gullible people out there. You think people will believe him? He is also expected to use the speech to warn the Iraqi government the American commitment to the country is not open-ended. Just so as long as Dickey's regime is how open-ended it is. But Bush was not going to make any explicit linkage in the speech tonight between Iraq's progress toward reaching new benchmarks. In other words, he's not saying, you know, if you make X amount of progress, we will do X amount. We're not requiring them, apparently, to do anything. Or if we are, it's just on paper only. It's just a fiction. It's just a fallacy. The addition of more than 21,000 troops over the next 4 months has already raised a political furor in Congress, and it represents a huge bet by Mr. Bush that he can rescue a mission in Iraq that the White House now admits is failing. Is he going to be able to rescue this mission? You tell me. Is this a possibility? Can he do this? Can he turn it around? Can he turn around public opinion with one 25-minute speech tonight? What would he have to say to turn around public opinion? You know what he would have to say, I think? What he would have to say is, we're bringing him home tomorrow. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Enid, westbound 50 just east of Bradshaw Road. We have, looks like a vehicle on the right-hand side, northbound I-5 just north of Cenis. There's a two-car crash. And eastbound I-80 just west of Greenback Lane, we've got a collision over there stopping traffic down. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
This is Al Franken, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. It's Full Frontal Radio.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it,
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead.
See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
In movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal internet, that is you and me. You and me, it's that right. Tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7 or really after 7 tonight. We are going to bring you the President's speech live in about 35 minutes. It's scheduled for 6 o'clock straight up, and it's scheduled to run for 25 minutes. And what we're going to do is we will take your calls for as long as you want to make them. So if it goes past 7 o'clock, we are here for you, and we will join Air America Radio, John Elliott's show, in progress. So instead of getting angry at your TV set or at your radio or your beloved or your pet, your otherwise known as a domestic companion, call us because we'd love to hear what you think. And I'm getting some early excerpts of what the speech is going to consist of. And one line from the speech is what he's going to do, I think. I think what Dickie's going to do. Remember now, he's going it alone. The generals don't want this. You know, the military doesn't want this. Some of their arms they've allowed some of their arms to be twisted. They're pulling their punches, but they don't want it. Most of Congress doesn't want it. The Democrats certainly don't want it. And there are a number of Republicans who also do not want this. not 20 or 30,000 more people to Iraq. They're going to be there in as few as 5 days from now. And the American public does not want this. And I think what the pitch is probably going to be along the lines of, if we do this now, we can bring him home faster. It's a complete lie, just like everything he says is a complete lie. But one of the lines, I guess, coming from the speech, we have some excerpts coming out, that victory in Iraq will not look like the ones our fathers and grandfathers achieved. There will be no surrender ceremony on the deck of a battleship. Remember mission accomplished? Remember when he was on the deck of that battleship? 349-1320. Take down this number, because even if you're at home, if you're off the road and you're at home at 6 o'clock and you do decide that you're going to cheat on us and watch it on TV instead of and listen to it on the radio, or do both at the same time if you can, take down the number, because we'll want to hear from you afterward. 349-1320. 866-626-1320. Let's see if there are some more excerpts from the speech tonight. Tonight in Iraq, Dickey's going to say, the armed forces of the United States are engaged in a struggle that will determine the direction of the global war on terror and our safety here at home. Oh, fear, fear. The new strategy I outlined tonight will change America's course in Iraq and help us succeed in the fight against terror. He hasn't been able to do the right thing in Iraq yet, so why should we believe him now? And on the role of the Iraqis, only the Iraqis can end the sectarian violence and secure their people, and their government has put forward an aggressive plan to do it. Fine, so let them do it. We're coming home. Our past efforts, he will say, to secure Baghdad failed for two principal reasons. There were not enough Iraqi and American troops to secure neighborhoods that had been cleared of terrorists and insurgents. And there were too many restrictions on the troops we did have. Oh, we had too many restrictions. Not enough troops, and the few that we had too many restrictions on them. Our military commanders reviewed the new Iraqi plan to ensure that it addressed these mistakes. Oh, we made mistakes. The military, as I just shared with you from the Washington Post, is advised against sending more troops into Iraq. They think it's a mistake. They report that everything is going to be perky. They also report that this plan can work. Prime Minister Maliki has pledged that political or sectarian interferences will not be tolerated. I have made it clear to the Prime Minister and Iraq's other leaders that America's commitment is not open-ended. If the Iraqi government does not follow through on its promises, it will lose the support of the American people, and it will lose the support of the Iraqi people. Now is the time to act. The Prime Minister understands this. Oh, Dickey, you're such a liar. Let's head over to the phone, 349-1320. I'll share some more excerpts of the speech as we continue. John in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi there.
Hi, John.
Hi. You know, this strategy of his is really called a poison pill strategy. What it is that, you know, he couldn't make the case in 08, or the Republican is that if, let's say, the Congress allowed him to send a troop, and if it succeeds, the Republicans say, see, it worked. But then, if the Congress does not approve the Senate troop, then 08, they're going to say, oh, they didn't approve the troop, though. That's why it's failed.
So but the Congress is really pretty powerless here. They're going to, by the time they get around to any kind of sticking it to them on spending bills, the troops are already going to be sent in. Right. I don't think there's the Congress is talking about pulling the funding, but I don't know that there's anything really they're going to be able to do, or if there is anything they're going to be able to do, whether they're going to be able to do it in time.
Yep. I know, and no matter what, whatever decision he made, you know, he's trying to make a case in 08 to try to prove that, you know, his decision is right, no matter what.
So, is he going to be successful in the speech tonight?
Well, I don't know. It depends on how the public perceive, because I hope most public know that no matter what he does, he fails. So that way, you know, no matter what he's going to say.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. He's going to do it anyway. So even if nobody's mind has changed, that's it. It's, you know, it's like, screw you. John, I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And then you have a Fox News anchor who called Ted Kennedy, quote, a hostile enemy right here on our home front. A Fox News anchor, somebody whose IQ probably isn't even at room temperature, but she believes that Ted Kennedy is a hostile enemy right here on the home front. Because he demanded that Congress vote on whether to approve funding for escalation in Iraq. You want to comment on that? 349-1320. A hostile enemy right here on the home front. On the economic component, here's what Dickey's going to say. A successful strategy for Iraq goes beyond military operations. Ordinary Iraqi citizens must see that military operations are accompanied by visible improvements in their neighborhoods. And on protecting the American people, he is going to talk about how to step back now would force a collapse Oh, wait a minute. On protecting the Americans. The challenge playing out across the broader Middle East is more than a military conflict. It is the decisive ideological battle, ideological struggle of our time. In the long run, the most realistic way to protect the American people is to provide a hopeful alternative to the hateful ideology of the enemy by advancing liberty across the troubled region. Now, if you are a supporter of Dickey's in the war, do you think this is going to make a difference? And if you're not, is he going to change anybody's mind? On bringing our troops home, here's what Dickey's going to say. He's going to say to step back now would force a collapse of the Iraqi government. Such a scenario would result in our troops being forced to stay in Iraq even longer and confront an enemy that is even more lethal. If we increase our support at this crucial moment and help the Iraqis break the current cycle of violence, we can hasten the day our troops begin coming home. That's what he's going to say. That's probably going to be the central theme. That by itself. Will it work? And it doesn't matter if it works or if it doesn't work. And guess what? It isn't bad enough that we are sending more people to their deaths in Iraq, but we're sending them without the proper armor. The thousands of troops that President Bush is expected to order to Iraq will join the fight largely without the protection of the latest armored vehicles that withstand bomb blasts, far better than the Humvees in wide use, military officers said. Vehicles such as the Cougar and the M1117 armored security vehicle have proven ability to save lives, but production started late and relatively small numbers are in use in Iraq, mostly because of money shortages. Now, this adventure in Iraq, this fiasco, this loser in Iraq, is costing us $1 billion every few days. But we don't have enough money to protect the troops. We have a lot of money for the independent contractors that are there, the civilian contractors. But we don't have enough money to protect the troops. More than 1,000 American troops have been killed by roadside bombs since the war began in March 2003. At present, there are fewer than 1,000 of the new armored trucks in Iraq. At $500,000 to $700,000 each, they cost more than twice as much as a standard Humvee, but already they are proving their worth. Now, even if they're $500,000 or $700,000 a piece and they're twice as much as a standard Humvee, think about the medical care that they prevent by saving lives. And medical care is very expensive. They're expensive, but they're going to save lives. Most American troops patrol in 20,000 Humvees the Pentagon has sent to Iraq. Most of those vehicles have been layered with added armor plating as the Pentagon has struggled over the past 3 years to counter the increasingly powerful and sophisticated roadside bombs or improvised explosive devices, IEDs, planted by insurgents. And you know, a lot of probably the components of those IEDs were filched by the insurgents. Because we didn't protect those caches of weapons when we came in. We were there to protect the oil, not to protect the antiquities and the artifacts, and we didn't protect the weapons either. So a lot of that probably are chickens coming home to roost. 349-1320. So better armor is lacking for the new troops in Iraq. And we're sending them in without the appropriate armor that could save their lives. We're sending 20,000 to 30,000 more, and Dickey's going to do it no matter what you think, no matter that the American public, two-thirds of us are against the idea, at least. I think it's 70% of us think that he hasn't handled the war well. And now he's saying this is the last chance, and if we do it now, it's going to turn things around, and it's going to bring people home. And people will want to believe that. They will want to believe that this is a possibility, that we can turn it around, and if only we send 20 to 30,000 more of other people's children. Hey, what the hey? I'm going to be watching sports. I'm going to be shopping tonight. I'm not listening to this guy because there's no draft, even though I hope Charlie Rangel starts to jangle that tree again. There's no draft, and a lot of people can just go blithely shopping without having to consider that going to Iraq would in any way touch their lives. That sending 20 to 30,000 more troops would in any way have a bearing on their lives. And you have a lot of people who call Enid Live who say they support the troops. They send care packages. They have them in for a dinner once in a while. It's not the same. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And what I want to remind you is in about 25 minutes, we will be taking President Bush's supposedly historic, it's being called historic speech, live right here on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. And when it's finished at about 6:25 or 6:30, we will take your calls. So I really want to hear from you and whether he's made the case, whether how you feel about what he had to say, whether you even decided you were going to listen or watch. 349-1320, I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, traffic is a little slower than we have seen in the last hour or two. Southbound 99 at Sutterville Road. Also southbound 99 just south of center of the 50. There's a two-car crash over there in eastbound 90 just west of Greenback. We have a two-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, this is Randy Rose, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. The only channel left.
I'm News 10's Christina Mendoza.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, for folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Okay, here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins, just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to. (laughs)
Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed. We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Left is Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, I want to remind you we're going to be carrying the president's speech in less than 20 minutes right here on AM 1320. So keep it right here on keep your presets right on AM 13. We should be anyway. But if you happen not to be in your car, if you happen to be watching it on television, we're going to go longer if there is if there are enough of you who want to respond to the president's speech. It is being billed as an historic speech, and we've been talking about it. Also, MSNBC is reporting that the Brits are going to pull out. They're going to cut their 3,000 troop commitment to Iraq. So, you know, the whole thing is a failed enterprise. Dickie's going to say that this is what we have to do in order to bring the troops home even faster. I wonder how it'll play. I don't think it'll play at all, but I think he's just going to do whatever he wants to do, even his generals don't want to go along with him. 349-1320, 866-620-61320. And another news, and actually there is other news, Schwartz has reiterated his budget plan, which is rather an austere one. He wants to cut the welfare payment for children. He's now made it official. Whose parents don't want to work, and he's going to cut the cost of living on welfare. So that's how he's going to make some money for the state. 349-1320. Natalie Fair Oaks, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Natalie.
Hi, Enid. I'm already pulled out from listening to the president. Enough lies to carry me for a lifetime, but I'm going to spend my time praying for the troops that are there now and the ones that are being sent over there. And even though the contractors are paid more, they're Americans too. And I'm concerned with how many of them have been killed. Are they commingled into the count somehow? Do we know how many of them are killed?
You know, that's a really good question. I don't know if they are. My guess is that the count we have is a military count.
Yeah, so you can add some more numbers on top of that. And also, how many more contractors are going to be sent over there, and how much will that cost?
I agree with you that they're Americans, but it's a voluntary issue for them in a way that it isn't for the military, even though it's an all-voluntary military. I mean, once you're in there, they're not letting you out, and they need bodies so badly that you could be in there for way longer than you ever expected to be there in the military. But if you're a contractor, a civilian contractor, you know what the risks are. If you're not, then you're among the nearly comatose. You know what the risks are going in, and you know it's a trade-off. If you can survive it, you're going to come back with a lot of dough in your pocket. Maybe your mental health won't be the same as it was when you came on board. I don't know, but if you survive it, you can make a lot of money.
But they may also be very low income people trying to support families, trying to get.
I'm sure there's a lot of that. I'm sure that's true.
But I just wonder, you know, I think there needs to be a body count of them, and also need to tell us how many more of them are going into war.
Well, and what we don't always, we don't ever get is a body count of the Iraqis. It was estimated to be about 23,000 last month.
Well,
in one month alone, 23,000. Well, in one month alone, 23,000.
Oh, I see.
In one month alone.
God. Yeah, and that isn't talked about enough either.
No, it isn't, but if you listen to Enid Live, we're on it, or we try to be anyway. But are you telling me, Natalie, that you're not going to listen to the speech at all?
I'll probably try to, but I find myself getting so angry that I don't get too far into it. So.
Well, then you can call us afterward and let us know. This is the place where you can vent. It's cheaper than a shrink. In fact, it costs nothing at all. And it's a lot more fun, too.
Well, misery loves company.
Well, I thank you for the call, Natalie. Thank you. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Misery does. Ooh, misery. Here's a Fox anchor who is calling Ted Kennedy a hostile enemy right here on the home front. This morning on Fox News, anchor Gretchen Carlson called Ted Kennedy a hostile enemy of the U.S. because he has demanded that Congress vote on whether to approve funding for escalation in Iraq. In an interview with White House counselor Dan Bartlett, Carlson compared Kennedy to insurgents and terrorists in Iraq, saying that Kennedy represented the same kind of force right here on the home front. That's what she said. Well, you know, they're playing to their base. I remember being on Fox News, Fair and Balanced, and calling the president Dickie, and I don't know whatever else I said, and I got death threats. I mean, people called in with the worst. The worst. Their audience is so angry and hostile, and I'm just, you know, you can disagree with people, but I mean, they were just furious. President Bush will outline his new way forward, but in a USA Today Gallup poll, it turns out that 61% oppose, 61% of us oppose the increased troop levels. Approval of the job Dickey is doing in Iraq has sunk to 26%, a record low. He has no support, but you know, he doesn't care. And for the longest time, this guy is really born under a lucky star. For the longest time, he did have support, even though he never deserved it. He's going to warn that the new Iraq campaign could be bloody. He's going to announce tonight that he's sending 21,500, now it's 21,500, additional U.S. troops to Iraq. And he will warn Americans that the next year of the war could be bloody as U.S. and Iraq forces confront sectarian militias and seek to quell the Sunni Muslim insurgency. This is now according to White House officials who are leaking some of the information that we can expect to hear tonight in the speech. And we're going to hear it in about 14 minutes right here on AM 1320. If we increase our support at this crucial moment and help the Iraqis break the current cycle of violence, he will tell us, we can hasten the day our troops begin coming home. So that's going to be a central theme here, that it's going to be bloody. But if we do this right now, if we bite the bullet, well, he's not biting the bullet. His kids aren't biting the bullet. The children of the rich and powerful are not biting the bullet. But they're people who are, you know, fodder, playing, as our listener who has spent time in Iraq told us, convoy roulette. Those are the people who are really going to have to bite the bullet, or at least keep a sharp eye on the lookout for any bullets. But most of us are saying no. And the Senate Democrats are planning symbolic votes against Bush's Iraq troop plan. I think what this administration does, they're very, very clever. Never underestimate them. You've got old hands like Cheney and before his demise, Rummy. And they think 20 chess moves in advance. And all of these are like landmines that are going to go off in the arms of Democrats when Democrats, if a Democrat succeeds Bush in 2008. So what are the Democrats reduced to doing? Not much. The only ability they have here is a symbolic one. Democratic leaders said that they intended to hold symbolic votes in the House and Senate. And we think there are about 10 Republicans who are going to vote against Bush, who are going to go on record as not supporting the troop increase. Maybe there'll be more, I don't know. Democratic leaders said that they intended to hold symbolic votes in the House and Senate on President Bush's plan to send more troops to Baghdad, forcing Republicans to take a stand on the proposal and seeking to isolate the president politically over his handling of the war. Senate Democrats decided to schedule a vote on the resolution after a closed-door meeting on a day when Senator Edward Kennedy of Massachusetts introduced legislation to require Bush to gain congressional approval before sending more troops to Iraq. The Senate vote is expected as early as next week. By that time, they're already going to have a number of troops, number of thousands of troops in Iraq, additional troops. The Senate vote is expected as early as next week after an initial round of committee hearings on the plan Mr. Bush will lay out for the nation tonight in his address that will be delivered from the White House library, containing books that he has never read, I don't think. A setting chosen because it will provide a fresh backdrop for a presidential message. Well, you know, they ought to use a backdrop from when he was aboard the Abraham Lincoln, that carrier. You know, the one that said mission accomplished. Why don't they use that backdrop? That would be a good backdrop for them to use. What do you think? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. You are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, 866-626-1320. You are listening to the Wednesday edition of
Win Fast, Win Often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com. Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com. Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com. Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com. Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com. Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com. Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com. Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com. Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com. Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com. Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com. Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com. Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com. Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com. Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com. Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com.
For this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com.
Want to demonstrate, and there are going to be some events in Washington. There's a peace train that is leaving from Sacramento, and it's got a pretty affordable price round trip, it looks like. So you can find out about that. I think the Democratic Party knows something about that. Will it be enough? Will enough people demonstrate? You know, when Charlie Rangel, we thought that he was going to be reinstituting the draft. I think that would bring people out in the streets. The Democrats don't want that. The Republicans don't want it. But I think it would certainly amp up the dialogue.
Well, you know,
Enid, I listen to you frequently, and I was thinking the other day, listening to you and Christine, that unfortunately, we're not talking about Vietnam in terms of the number of American lives and Vietnamese lives and other lives that were lost in Vietnam. We're talking about relatively few American lives, and that may be one reason that this is not sinking in to the citizenry of this country. I heard last night, for example, an interview on Air America of the Congresswoman Woolsey from Marin and Sonoma County.
But tell me, Mike, what is your point? Tell me what your point is.
She mentioned that 100,000 Iraqis had died. It is considerably more than that.
Right, about 23,000 just last month alone.
We're talking about the most liberal, most committed against the war Democrat in the Democratic Party, and she doesn't even know what reality is. We've got a huge problem, and the Democratic Party is not moving to solve it.
So what is the answer?
The answer is we do not start wars overnight in Somalia. The answer is we have to take this country back.
And how are you doing that, Mike?
Well, the way we
How are you personally doing that?
Well, personally, I'm spending a lot of time, and fortunately, I have the time to do it. But communicating with
Give us an example of how you in your life are trying to make a difference. What do you do?
Well, I have access to a lot of young people, and I'm talking with them. I'm speaking to others who have access.
So you're really talking to people. Are you taking to the street yourself? Do you go involved? Are you involved in demonstrations? Are you involved with any groups at all?
Yeah, I've taken groups of people into the Bay Area. I've taken them to a number of places in San Diego County. I think the answer is clearly to get certain demographics involved in this, which are not being reached, for example, on your show. Unfortunately, I don't think a lot of young people are listening to Enid Goldberg and Christine.
Well, Mike, it's Enid Goldstein. So if you're listening, you should at least get my name right. And I'm going to disabuse you. We have a lot of young people who listen to Enid Live, and many of them call in. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Don, in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Hi, Don.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Well, you know, I just want to voice my opinion, and that is I'm really kind of, you know, ticked off about sending more troops. You know, my grandfather was in the military. He was a decorated war hero. And the thing about it is this, is that, you know, they talk to all the generals and all the people there that are fighting in that war over there, who are running that war, basically, and the strategy behind it. And they all say, we don't need more troops. And the fact of the matter is ignoring them and what they say.
You know what he's doing? Let me just jump in here. He is blaming our failure to secure Baghdad on the lack of troops. So essentially, he's blaming his failures on the troops. And now he wants to send more troops in because the troops have failed us. He's never done anything wrong. It's the troops who are failing us because there aren't enough of them. When Eric Shinseki, general of the Joint Chiefs, and he said, you got to have 300,000 people, all wildly overstated, and they threw him out. They pushed him out the door. They couldn't have humiliated him more if they had tried, and they did try.
Absolutely. And, you know, hey, look, even with the extra troops, okay, we're not going to achieve that agenda. Okay, we're not going to. It's impossible. We live in California. I mean, we can't stop the crime here. We can't stop the killing here. We can't stop the home invasions here, basically. We're not going to stop nothing there. When we pull out, when that time comes, you know, the country's going to go back into chaos. It's a fact. I mean, there's nothing...
You know, here's the story. We could send those 30,000 troops in, and we could fail worse than before. We sent them in, and then they're stuck there. They're never coming out. Or they'll come out around the time of the election where Bush will look like a hero for bringing them home when they shouldn't have been sent in the first place. They've already, then the surge is underway. They've already sent them out.
Yeah, I kind of like that speech, you know, when he said a new century. You know, I was thinking to myself, did he mean a project for a new American century? That's kind of what I was thinking.
I've got his speech, and you can get it, too. Go online to
Yeah, I heard it.
Yeah, but you can see it. You can print it out.
You know, and the thing about it is this. Look, I don't know about you, but I'm a patriot, and I'm tired of this. You know, we fought against this in 1776. You know what I mean? So they sit here and say, well, we're fighting, or these kids are fighting for our freedom over there. Okay? Well, they're fighting for our freedom over there, then why are they taking away our rights? Why are they breaking down the Constitution, the first seven amendments of our Constitution, taking away our freedoms? I mean, the fight is right here. It isn't over there.
So we're going to leave it there, Donna, and I thank you for the call. What is your response to the president's speech? If you've been a supporter of the president, a supporter of the war, are you still Saeed in Sacramento? Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi.
Hello?
Hi, is this Saad?
Yeah.
Hi, Saad. You're on the air with Enid.
I'm on the air?
Yes, you are.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for everything. Michelle, and I was just driving from my work to my house, you know, and I was listening to the radio, to the speech, and I can tell just from his voice, you know, he's, like, scared and very shaky. And I think he's a very sick man.
You better send him a drink. He better have a drink.
I think so.
Maybe he had a couple drinks before he spoke, and it combined with the medication he must be on.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Sometimes, like, I think, is this really happening? I mean, they did not do nothing to us. We just went there. It's all for the oil. We all know it.
So nothing he said changed your mind, it sounds like.
All right, man. Well, thank you very much for
You're very welcome. Thank you. I think he didn't answer my question. All right. The troop surge is underway. ABC News is reporting it. They're already en route. He's not waiting to get your approval. And he doesn't care what the Congress thinks. His generals don't support him. The American public doesn't support him. But the two Dicks are out there. Dick and Dickie are out there on their own. And they think they know best. Do they? 349-1320. What are your thoughts about the speech? Was it a very well-written speech? Was it a very persuasive speech? Was it a very elegant or eloquent speech? 349-1320-866-626-1320. You're listening to the Wednesday post-speech edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Well, anyway, you want to know if it's a very eloquently written speech? Not bad for being written by Keanu Reeves or somebody in Hollywood, don't you think?
Keanu Reeves?
Well, I mean, somebody
is
like
that. Is the speech
that
written eloquently or is it delivered eloquently?
I think that it was written eloquently because he paused, you know, for the monitor. Did you watch his lips?
Read my lips.
That's the best part of the whole
speech. Read my lips. Don't listen to this speech.
Best part of the speech is when his lips weren't moving. I like what Barack's saying, though. We'll have to check it out. Meanwhile, southbound 99, slow. Very slow. In fact, at 644, we've got about two or three car crashes along there on the way to Elk Grove Boulevard, Grant Avenue at California Avenue, and at Colma Road at Sunset Boulevard, all two and three car crashes. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The people have spoken. It's radio in the left zone. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Let's Safeway be.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The LA City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them. Artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, so folks in the Detroit and Saginaw, you might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, facilities, and, of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, just a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
New rule. Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to. Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, and it wasn't the guy who just gave the speech, unless you beg to differ. If you're a big supporter of Dickies and what they're doing, sending other people's children to make a sacrifice to a failed effort, I'd love to hear from you. And any thoughts you have about the speech, this is the place to express them. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, Jan in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Enid. How are you? I think I'm watching our hero right now. That's Barack Obama.
Yeah, now I haven't heard him talk, but what he said apparently is that he opposed everything that Bush had to say except for Bush's sincerity, which he thought was real. And I don't believe it's real for a second.
Well, you know, I think I have the explanation for that.
What?
I'm a speech pathologist, and I would say...
Well, you had a lot of pathology to work with in this speech, but go ahead.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Someone has worked with him extensively, probably 2 or 3 weeks. That's probably why he delayed doing this speech. And one of the things that, you know, his blinking was under control, and I think your last caller had pretty much right on the button as far as he was drugged up, honey.
You think so? I think he looked very subdued, and he looked a little like he might be on some light meds.
Yeah. Well, his rhetoric, as well as it was rehearsed, it's still so questionable, because his statements were those that they can't be verified. He's giving us scenarios which may or may not exist. And
let me ask you a question, because he has speechwriters who do this, and you're right, it was very vague. But from the point of view of a speech pathologist, what does his body language and the way he delivered the speech tell us about him? Other than he looks like he might be on some meds, what else did you notice? And the blinking under control, is that because of the meds, or is he calmer, or what?
Well, one of the things that was most observable was the diction and the prosody of his speech.
Prosody?
The prosody.
What does that mean?
It's the inflections of the voice. Whenever he talks on, say, on, you know, just at a news conference or at some of these other things, it's as though he is laying down the law to a kid. It's very authoritative. It comes up and says, we're going to do this, you know, and he ends it with a profundity of the authoritarian.
And you're saying that wasn't happening? It was.
No,
it was too. It
that
was
gone.
Was it because you think they?
Well, I think they rehearsed it out.
They rehearsed it out of him.
Absolutely.
And they didn't want him to sound like he was shooting from the hip,
like a Texas
cowboy.
Really think so. I think that they're trying to make him the nice guy with the way he did it. He probably had a loop tape that he listened to over and over and over, because, you know, I think it's pretty fair to make the statement that if he's not learning disabled or fetal alcohol syndrome, there's something really going on with this man.
Okay, we're gonna leave it there, but we're making all the,
just a little bit more if you have a minute.
When we don't, actually, we have to take a break. Wait, if you can tell me in a couple of seconds, we've got to take
a
break.
First of all, this isn't a war; it's an invasion and an occupation. So you can't win a war that doesn't exist.
Jan, we're going to leave it there, and I thank you very much for your observations. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, your reactions to the speech tonight by the president, whether it changed your mind, whether it was a persuasive speech. He was the New York Times reporting that he admits his errors in Iraq, but it didn't sound very mea culpa-ish to me. He barely, you know, he glossed over him, and that's about it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320. Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Some moving traffic. We have the slow southbound 99 past Free Ridge Road to Elk Grove Boulevard. We got a couple of car crashes there. 50 going over top of the mountain, a little slow. Speeding back up, though, it looks like it's almost 7 o'clock in westbound I-80 at Elkhorn Boulevard. We have a hit and run, no injuries, but emergency vehicles are blocking the lane. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
The truth, according to Enid, will set you free. Call her now at 349-1320.
About gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists?
campaign is dead. See how easy it was? It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
657 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Let's go quickly to Sophia in Sacramento.